DLGaming.net presents the Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic. Flopsy.
I think that what we need to take out of that is that you're a weird dude.
Your host, Robert Digital.
I think this is a worse idea than Evolve 2.
And
Smoochie.
How you doing?
I'm doing very sober.
Okay, cool.
Now, turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. I'm Bobby.
I'm Emilio.
This is Chi.
All right, we are minus one Chad today.
It's okay. I don't have to sit with my legs crossed the entire time without Chad staring through the Skype camera, probably zooming. Or maybe that's poor Emilio that has to worry about it.
Yeah, the crotch watch is over.
Yeah. Over crotch. He'll be back next week. He's not gone forever. Although it is kind of weird not having the headphones now. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Hopefully I keep talking into the mic.
I like having my hair breathe. It's okay.
Yeah.
No, it's a real thing. The headset hair. So, yeah.
So thanks to Fastidious for giving us a copy of Fortnite. It took us 2 weeks, but we gave it away on Twitter.
Awesome.
While we're about to, anyway. So I need a 1 out of 22, please.
1 out of 22? Did you just check your Twitter to see if we had any last minute?
I did, yep.
Okay,
just right now.
1 out of 22?
Yep. Beep, boop, pop, pop, beep, boop, 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 pop, pop, beep. Two.
Number two.
John, a.k.a. at Batarang Nuke. You got it, buddy.
Congratulations. You got a free copy of apparently a free-to-play game.
Yeah.
But you get it a year early. I was just telling you guys before we started recording, but I came so close to buying that game last night until I realized for $40, you really don't get much. You got to spend $60 to get, like, unlock all the heroes. So I don't know if I'm on board with that.
That would make me a little bit nervous because it's what did we describe it as? Kind of like a elaborate
TF2.
Minecraft TF
is TF2, it like a TF2 base building TF2.
Okay, yeah. That's really cool.
Wave survival.
It's a lot of buzzwords thrown in there.
Yeah. Well, in any case, they're trying to advertise it as a free-to-play, but then, like, the fact that they're selling it at so many different tiers, for me, it really... my skepticism meter is, like, through the roof right now.
Well, people are liking the game.
Yeah, it is a good game. It will eventually be free-to-play, but I don't think it's slated for release until a long time, right?
So, basically,
yeah,
you're paying for early access.
That's
right
what
now.
You're paying for,
and
yeah.
You get to decide what early access bundle you get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And you know what's funny is Heroes of the Storm did the same thing. I paid $40 to buy a bundle, and that allowed me early access, while other people got randomly chosen to get into the early access, the beta of that. So, that sucked, but it all worked out.
Also, we are, like, I would guess around 10 reviews from being number one on iTunes. We used to be... now we fall into spots. I don't like that at all. I know it's a fucking shitstorm to download the fucking iTunes client, automatically sign up for the newsletter, fucking put, maybe I shouldn't be listing all these things that has to happen. And then leaving a review or making an account, then leaving a review. Then you can just uninstall it and never think about it again. And you'll be entered for all our review giveaways, which we should be doing.
iTunes
once
is so bad. I was just talking to someone about this last night. Like, when someone gives me an iTunes gift card, I'm like, fuck you.
What if they actually gave you, like, a Napster gift card? Does that still exist?
Napster was, you had to pay for it. It was a paid for service. But I think when Spotify came out,
okay.
Because the guy who made Napster, he was... I think he owned Spotify or he helped make Spotify. Mm-hmm. There's some story there. Yeah. Anyway, all right.
Maybe we should do another giveaway for an iTunes review since we just gave away something.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll talk about it and see what we're going to do. Yeah.
Okay. We're either going to do like one large giveaway or maybe a couple small ones. I don't know.
Maybe those posters that Chad is indefinitely working on.
Let us know what you guys want. And maybe we'll make a contest, make some suggestions on the contest for reviews. Remember, if you've already left one, you're indefinitely entered. It's like a raffle ticket that never goes away.
Yep.
That's awesome.
All right. So games coming up on the radar. Let's talk about it. No Man's Sky, which I noticed on the front page of Steam, is on sale, $22.99. This had a big update.
This game just seems to be getting better and better and better. But it's still not a great game, apparently. Anyway, Atlas came out that's what they're, the name of this
Sky Atlas or no, Atlas.
Yeah, Atlas is coming out today, and it's free. It adds 30 hours of lore and story, a graphical overhaul. I looked at it, and it looks a lot crisper. Limited multiplayer, whatever that means. I think maybe, I don't know. They talked about it a little bit. I think maybe only two people can get together and mess around, but I'm not sure. But if anybody's still playing this, let us know.
What really would you do with somebody else in No Man's Sky?
Mine rocks faster, I guess.
That's the thing, yeah. When I played the game, there was no actual... With a lot of survival games out there, there's at least, fort building, multiplayer interaction, and whatnot. But I feel like a lot of what you do in No Man's Sky, it's upgrading your plane and navigating things.
Yeah.
But there's no shelf to put your trophies on, I feel like. And I don't know what type of multiplayer interaction that they'd provide in the game that would make it just worthy.
I think the last time that...
Of your time and attention, sorry.
The last time that we talked about this game, I think they added player structures. I think you...
Really?
I think. I'm not sure. Anyway, somebody's playing this. Let us know if what the changes, how big these changes were, and whether or not it's worth another look.
This would be a really good Chad moment.
Yeah, he'd go on and on about this or that. Somehow end up on dogs and why they suck.
He's a dog hater? That's horrible.
He actually hates cats.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's appropriate. That's fine.
Armor 3 DLC, very strange DLC. It's called Laws of War, and there's a new faction that's a humanitarian. They're called a service, and they call themselves IDAP, and basically they're mimicking the Red Cross because Arma 3 has some sort of real world connection with what is it? Bohemia has some sort of connection with the Red Cross, and I guess maybe they convinced them to make a game or something, or put them in their game. So I guess you're seeing the other side of war, not just the two fighting factions, but the interplay of people trying to come in and disarm mines and stuff that doesn't have to do with fighting directly. I thought it was very how do you
the claptraps of war.
Yeah,
the people
I think so.
That keep things going and basically save your life and save the world alongside with you, but get no recognition.
Right. Yeah.
Just because they're not murderers.
You nailed that one. I think that's exactly it. But way less funny. I don't think there's any comedy.
Yeah. True.
Overwatch is getting deathmatch and team deathmatch, and also a new map to go along with that. Funny they haven't done this so far, but team deathmatch is going to be 6-on-6, first 1-to-30 wins, and the single player, I don't know how many you need to win, but what I found interesting was if Mercy rezzes somebody, it takes away score points from the other team, so Mercies are going to be really strong in this.
Interesting.
Mercy's the only one who can rez still, right?
I believe so, yes.
We missed this game completely. It seems like a fucking, really missed something here. Hellblade.
Let me go back to that.
Senua's Sacrifice is this third-person adventure game, psychological adventure game. Really atmospheric, beautiful graphics. People are talking about the sound being fantastic. It's this hit that nobody really... talked about it. It has a 90% on Steam. Lab Monkey said he really liked it. It looks like a AAA title that came out from an indie developer. It's going for $30, but it looks like a $60, at least a $50 game to me.
Yeah.
I'm really intrigued, so I might be picking this up. But I have some other stuff on my plate right now. I'll talk about that later.
From the looks of it, it definitely looks like an amazing and graphically, sorry, like you said, the graphics exceed what you see on Skyrim.
Yeah.
Facial expressions.
Yeah, for sure.
Obviously it seems very mystical, very fighting large monsters.
I think
your character itself almost seems a little barbaric. But this game looks beautiful. But what it looks like, it's a shorter game. Maybe that's why it's $29.99.
Do we know?
Somebody said they took 6 hours to beat the game.
Oh, for $30, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
I guess you're kind of fighting out of your own demons in your own head. So, like, the one fight that I saw, her doubts were talking to her while she's fighting. Like, she got hit, and they're like, too slow, too slow, too slow. Move. You know?
Oh,
like,
that's that's really trippy.
It sounds fucking awesome. Yeah, I think I'll be picking this up.
It almost seems, like a really... If you combined a lot of the good things of, like, Elder Scrolls and Dark Souls, just about, with an amazing-looking female protagonist.
Yep.
Oh, that's trippy. That's cool.
Yeah.
Gotta play it. For $30?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. And Hearthstone, Knights of the Frozen Throne is out. Anybody playing that?
Not us. I think everybody's playing ESL.
That's another Chad topic.
But, Bobby, you said that Knights was intriguing you because of the Frozen Throne aspect.
Yeah. Not enough to play it, though.
Frozen Throne, was that more of, like, Wrath of the Lich King era when it comes to... Okay.
Yeah, Wrath of the Lich King in WoW lines up with Frozen Throne in Warcraft 3.
That's right. Oh, Frozen Throne, Warcraft 3. That's true.
Yeah. Hmm.
But everybody's playing ESL. So maybe Hearthstone is losing some of its clientele to that.
So this is funny. Our big story is it says Dota 2, but really, I don't think it's Dota 2 so much as the International. I say that because it really is just the production level. It looked like you were watching ESPN or better. Yeah. Like. The production value is so super high. I was blown away by when they picking, which I always find is boring to me because I don't understand the characters. I understand that for people that watch this, it's amazing. But those holograms in front of their thing, dude, I was like, what the fuck? That is awesome.
Yeah, well, this is, I think, the second or third year they've been doing that. And yeah, it looks amazing. The production value of that is just off the charts. It's like the Super Bowl for esports. Like, even if you don't play Dota 2, everybody tunes in for the International. I mean, the first place prize, $10.5 million, bigger than it's ever been. I mean, of course you're going to watch that. But I love when they do the behind-the-scenes stuff. They didn't spend too much time on it this year, but they did have a moment where they went behind the scenes, and they showed, like, the rooms, the cameras, the people working, operating all the equipment. Like, it is just insane. But there was a bunch of stuff that happened at the International. They're using this as a platform to announce things as well. So did you guys hear about any of this? First of all, they had one of the pro players, Dendi. He was featured in the free-to-play documentary. He was playing 1v1 versus an AI.
Yeah.
An AI. You guys saw that?
Yeah.
And they did not do well.
Right. Actually, I heard it was two top players, and it beat them both easily.
I only saw the one with Dendi. But that was just an interesting. You know, it's like, what was the Deep Blue versus Kasparov, or what was that chess match?
Yeah.
Or, it's like one of those types of events. But they played it up so well. Like, they brought him out in, like, the boxer, like, robe and everything.
That's awesome.
It was pretty funny.
So that AI is by Elon Musk's Deep Learn? No, I forget what they name it. But anyway, it's his startup that he bought. Well, he bought a startup that was working on AI, and it's from his thing. Anyway, he said that it taught itself Dota 2 in 2 weeks, and in that time it was able to learn lifetimes of experience because it can learn so much faster, right, and have so many games running simultaneously.
And they're saying there's going to be some way that they can incorporate this into the game to, like, improve the AI players. I don't know if that, like, if you're playing versus AI games, I guess it would be good. But in Dota 2, if somebody leaves the game, they just stay in the base, right? It's like Smite and League.
I don't know.
Yeah.
If they completely disconnect from the game, you then can control their character.
Okay.
Yes. So, which doesn't help out much, but it can help out a little. Like, if you need to push back creeps, you can every now and then use them and then also you can sell their gold and have them buy wards, and you could basically just, you know,
do everything,
be a half character.
Play.
Yeah.
That's so strange. So what happens to your character? It goes on AI when you jump over?
Nope, it's just by itself. Yeah,
turns into Warcraft 3.
But it's interesting because more than one person can control the the idle player. So you can actually share responsibility on the person that left.
Yeah.
And get a lot done. And I think I've actually beaten a game where somebody disconnected, not because they were rage quitting, but they authentically disconnected, which still happens, by the way. Let's not forget mm-hmm. that people will leave a game even when you have the winning advantage, but just because of computer problems. And we were still able to win with one man short. So
nice. So it's a good system. If you could do that, then mm-hmm. it's a decent system.
Yeah. Speaking of the internationals, I'm not sure if you guys heard, a lot of fans were disappointed by the new game title Valve teased at and announced.
Yeah, I watched that live. I linked it in Discord right when it was happening because they were really playing it up. They're like, guess what, guys? Valve is releasing a new game. And like... The applause was lackluster. The guy even commented, like, I think you guys should be a little more excited. But then they go on to announce Artifact, which is just a card game based on Dota 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they announce it like Valve's releasing a new game. Like, what are we supposed to think? Is this Half-Life 3? Is this like a new Portal? Yeah. Is this a new, completely new type of game? It's just... Like, we don't really associate Valve with video games anymore. I mostly associate them with Steam, but I just never expect them to make a new game. But then it's like a card game, and it's like, well, you're a little late to the game on that one. I mean...
Not only that, it feels like it's there as a money grab, I imagine. Because, you know, the game itself is going to be... I'm sure the card game is going to be just fine. It's going to be a lot of fun. People who love the Dota 2 heroes, and there's really not that much lore that I know of myself, or if lore really exists for a lot of the different heroes that they have in Dota 2. But, you know, it's just an extra, you know, an extra face to the game, which is nice. I'm pretty sure it's pretty casual, something to play in between games. But another thing too, it's like, you know, that this is probably one of those like money grabs, like Hearthstone. Like Hearthstone is a good game, but then a lot of these games you find yourself plunging money into to really actually feel like you're playing the game.
I mean, that's why people are making card games. I mean, I think they're all good money generators as long as you make. I'm sure ESL is making tons of money right now.
Mm-hmm.
They just want a piece of the pie.
Yeah. Yeah, and thanks to Heisenballs for posting the links in the Discord chat for everybody.
And the other thing, too, I bet the Dota 2 team, I bet there's huge Hearthstone fans on the team.
Yeah.
And they're like, we could do this. We could do, you know, it's probably a passion project as well.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah.
I would bet that Valve is going to incorporate this into the launcher but whatever the software in Steam is. Because like if you load up Dota 2, it automatically has a video playing of the TI. They're very good at incorporating stuff into the game. So I think they're going to put this in there so it's very easy to play while you're waiting in queue or while you're doing something else. Because almost every Heroes of the Storm streamer that I watch, they play Hearthstone in between queues. And it's really easy for them to go back and forth. So I feel like this is going to appeal to people. They've got this massive amount of people that play Dota 2. They're familiar with the characters. They come out with this card game. People are more inclined to play it because they're familiar with the characters rather than go to a different one. But I don't know. Do we need another card game? They haven't showed any gameplay of this, by the way, right?
Yeah.
Like, not a bit.
One thing that would be interesting is that if they intimated. implemented. Yeah. Implemented or incorporated some cross-game rewards.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Like, if you played mm-hmm. the card game, you could unlock skins for real-life games. And maybe if somebody doesn't want to play a long, probably dragged-out, very toxic game of Dota 2 and wants to play just a really chill game of Artifact, I imagine it's going to be a great like card game released with Dota 2. Well, I can't say that for sure, but I think... It makes sense because it beats having Valve lose its customer base to like have them open up Blizzard to play something just to kill time in between queues. So
yeah, maybe they're taking a note from Blizzard and just trying to do that cross promotion thing.
This just in, Valve becoming Blizzard.
But you know, we'll see when the game actually comes out. This is all speculation. I mean, the reaction wasn't too great, but who knows? This could actually be a really good card game.
So I was watching a game during the international, and I started talking about it in Discord. Nobody knew what the hell I was talking about. Nobody knew what the TI was. So then I said, the international guys, used Pride Pool. We've been talking about this for weeks, blah, blah, blah. Nobody knew. So then I linked it, and everybody was, once they started watching, they were hooked. I mean, even not knowing much, you can tell it's just so well done, and the games are exciting because you know how much money's online.
They've got great casters. They've got a great team. Yeah, it's entertaining even if you don't really. I mean, when I started watching it 4 years ago, I think I watched my first one. I had no idea what was going on. This is like when I only had Smite experience, so I had no clue, but it still was entertaining.
Yeah, Mike said he had never seen any esports before, and he said, this is awesome. And I was like, just don't play the game. It's for watching.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I've got the... I've talked about this many times before, but I had that club where I work. So I get a really good feel as to what the youth, the upcoming generation of gamers are into.
Yeah.
And we would watch, of course, a lot of Overwatch, League of Legends, and... what was it? CSGO. Those are all the big ones. I tried to put Dota on, and... maybe two or three knew what it was. None of them played it.
Damn.
And they were not into it.
Oh, that's
right. Well, they're a little too young to play, I think.
Well, you look at some of these players, and they're like 16, 17 years old in the international. Mm. So, I mean, there are young people playing it, but I think League is just
they've got
so
those
much
fast
more
reaction
accessible.
Times.
I think it's the hardest game in the world.
The hardest game in the world, Dota 2?
I think so, yeah.
Team-based game, maybe.
I mean, if you just incorporate everything, first you got to get the tactical part of it. Then you got to learn the characters. Then you got to learn the items. Then you got to learn how to play well with others. Then you got to make sure to manage. You
play
know
well
I mean?
With others.
Yeah. Well, you can't win if you don't, right?
Yeah, just the way you say it, it makes it sound like you got to play nice with others. Which
honestly, yeah, I would concur with that. Yeah. As long as when it does come to online. Multiplayer versus, but there is a very high skill base. Anybody can play Counter-Strike, but nobody, yeah. not any, well, there's very far and few in between that play at the level of the professionals.
Yeah.
So
easy to learn, hard to master.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Exactly.
There's just so much knowledge you have to build up. But the game has been around for so long that there's people who have been playing since Dota 1 who have just, like, the knowledge of all the characters and what they do is just ingrained in them. So they've learned as new ones have been added. You know what I didn't realize, though? I was looking at their website. There is a prize for the All-Star game. I love the All-Star game. It's one of my favorite parts of the TI. It's just like they bring out players from different teams. They have this big match, and it's all just kind of for fun. But apparently there is a prize. There's $100,000 for the winner of that, which is insane because there's some esports competitions where that's like the grand prize.
Yeah. $100,000. Is that for the team? $100,000?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they probably split it up or something.
That's
but
so
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
That's crazy.
Who picks the teams? How's that work? Do you know?
You know what they did last year was they brought in fans out of the stands and the fans got to choose from a group of players, like which one. So all the fans like chose their favorite players
Cool.
and then they had like a huge match. Like a 10v10.
How much of the tournament did you watch, Bobby?
A lot.
Okay.
I watched quite a bit.
How did it play out? Was it exciting or was it just a stomp all the way through? Because I think the people who won did go to the loser's bracket. So that's pretty entertaining.
The American teams didn't do well. So once that was all over with, I wasn't as invested in it anymore. And I was just kind of, you know, watching to see what happened. So after that happened, after EG got knocked out, I was kind of over it. Unfortunately, we did not have a good showing this year. Cloud9 or Evil Geniuses.
So who did win? Team Liquid.
Well, let's not say.
I don't know.
Great.
Am I spoiling this for people? Mm-hmm. But the international was yesterday, and by the time they this,
for all the
Tuesday.
Chads out there.
When Chad and I
were playing League. I was just like commenting on something. It's like, don't tell me I haven't watched.
Oh,
it yet.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
He's that guy. I'm like, dude, you're not going to watch like 50 hours of Dota.
He watches a lot. It's his TV. He just sits there and...
Dude, I watch a lot of esports, but you can't watch all that. These games are like an hour long. Yeah. One more thing I wanted to mention, though. I really liked the new terrain. They didn't call it a map. They called it a terrain because it doesn't change the map. But they had a whole underwater theme this year. I don't know if you noticed. But during the group stage, they had the terrain where the map looked like it was underwater. Instead of trees, it was like seaweed floating up.
I think that's awesome.
It looked fantastic.
As long as it doesn't add to any additional glitching and or issues during
people
gameplay.
People complained about it. The viewers complained about it because sometimes like a jellyfish or a landmine would block the view of something. So after the group stage, they changed it back to the normal terrain. But it is a cool looking map. Like it was... It was really beautiful. And then all their logos, all their themes, like everything, even when they were doing the pick band, they would show the heroes in like that seaweed area. And yeah, so I thought that was really cool.
The thing that I noticed that I hadn't noticed before, or maybe it's new, is those little plaques that are on the ground in the middle center lane. And they're like metallic and they have like the Monster logo and like something else written like sponsorship. And it's so interesting that how are you going to incorporate, you know, you watch big sporting events. And
you're talking about in the game.
In the game, yeah. In like sporting events has those walls just full of sponsors all the way around, like in soccer. And then you can't really put that in, but they did. It's just like on the floor.
Yeah, they put the team's logo on their side of the map.
Yeah, I didn't think it was disruptive. I didn't think it was overly done. Like as long as they don't make the whole floor ad someday, like the UFC does, that's
so.
You know, I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was well put.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fantastic. The only thing is that this was like the first year that I didn't really watch it with anybody. Even last year, a lot of us were on Discord or Skype. We might have been using Skype back then. No, we were on Discord by then. And we were watching it together, commenting on it. But this year, I watched most of it alone.
Yeah, me too.
I feel like I would be more interested in watching the esports championship if I played the game still.
Yeah,
like,
oh, for sure.
If I'm more active in that like gamer circle community, then it's going to be more relevant to, to topics of conversation. And I know the people that I'm talking to will want to discuss it. And then that would make me feel more inclined to make time to watch it. As for yesterday, instead of watching it, I went to a beer fest. I probably would have had more fun watching the international.
Especially with us, just like Bobby said, if we can get together and watch it with
I'm pretty sure from watching the internationals, it makes you want to play the game more. Like I would want to dabble back in Dota 2. It's been a while. Going back would almost feel like it's a whole nother game. But
it's
I have way too many games to beat. Yeah, I have way too many games to beat this year, so I doubt it.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, speaking of MOBAs, Chad and I had a chance to play some League of Legends together.
Oh, how did that go? It's funny because he's not here, so he can't really...
I know. I was hoping to discuss this with him. Now he'll have to listen.
But he wouldn't defend himself, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, I was playing, as you know, I only play Gragas. And so I was like, all right, Chad, you're going to play the ADC. He's not very good at last hitting. He's in that area where he's like, he knows so much about League. Like any question I had, he was able to answer, which is really nice. He knows what all the heroes do. And he's like, this guy's going to do that. So watch out for this. It was very helpful. But he has a lot of trouble acting those out in game. The mechanical skill.
It's exactly what I said last week. I said he knows all the strats. He knows all.
He knows what to do, but he doesn't know how to do it.
But clicking on characters is very, very hard.
Is he left-handed?
He's left. Yeah.
He uses his right hand?
He plays with his right hand.
Yeah. Oh. I think it really hurts him.
It has to.
I think so.
Has he never tried switching it around? Because left-hand mice exist.
Well, they do now, but back in the day, that was like, that didn't happen. But
is it because he's just acquainted to...
I would imagine...
Yeah, I think most people like that. Left-handed people get used to using the mouse with their right hand. I know the majority of left-handed people still use a mouse with their right hand.
And he's good at his controller game.
Is he a definite lefty or is he ambidextrous?
No, definitely. Definitely lefty. Oh.
But that's just, I mean, that I don't think that's really disabling him in any way.
Yeah,
I think
fucking use your left hand for your mouse, dude. See how that goes.
Well, he's learned to use it over time.
Yeah.
But I've been in his position, even with Heroes of the Storm, where I know what I need to do. I just can't make it happen. And it's so frustrating to not have those mechanical skills. And that just takes time. You got to just spend time and play a lot of the game, and then eventually you, you get it. But we did, we played one round of Blind Conquest, Summoner's Rift, whatever the fuck they call it. One game. It didn't go well. So we started doing ARAM. I'm like, all right, I'm going to start learning all the different champs. I got to get used to calling them champs. You know, it just sounds so cheesy to me. Like, hey, champ.
Let's go, champ.
Dota calls them heroes. Smite calls them gods. Heroes obviously calls them heroes. But yeah, so I was going to learn all the different champs, what they do, how they play. So we started doing ARAM, which is a great way to learn that. So I get randomly assigned a hero. We go in there. We do a 5v5 down one lane. And those went pretty well. We had a lot of fun doing that. And
ARAM hopefully we'll get a play some
Did you win any games with him?
Mm-hmm. Once we started doing ARAM, yeah. Yeah, we started
ARAM is my favorite in Smite.
Yeah, it's a great way to learn the game, the heroes, and practice your team fight.
When I started off with League of Legends 2, and people told me to play a lot of ARAM to just kind of get used to the different heroes, mm-hmm. but for me, it got a little boring.
Wow.
And so I would play League of Legends games, but then I moved on to Smite.
Yeah.
And then from Smite, I moved on to Dota 2, and I never looked back afterwards. Mm. I was like, once I got like leverage on how to play Dota 2, I was like, I can't play League, I can't play Smite, and imagine myself having a good time doing so.
Wow.
So
I feel the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Really?
I can't play Dota 2 and have a good time. I don't know. Smite was kind of like that too. Like some games I play, I want to do well in every game that I play. And especially in MOBAs when there's just so much room for improvement. But there's some games that I play like Smite and Dota where I feel like I want to get better for the wrong reasons. Like these games make me angry and I'm upset about it. So then I want to get better. But then I play other MOBAs and it's like League and Heroes. And I'm like, I know where I could improve. I'm getting better here, but I need to do this. Like I don't know. I feel better when I play those MOBAs.
Lately, a lot of my fuck ups have been, and I love it when I stream sometimes while playing video games because I can immediately look at my VOD and tell what the fuck just happened and why I died. Actually, what happened, I was playing a solo, just solo third person PUBG, and I didn't die because of poor, like, you know, skill. I died because of like horrible timing. Very unsatisfying, not knowing what I was doing in the game. Mm. The reason I died, I went for a crate. The person that...
Oh, that's it.
Well,
that's
no, here's the thing. I went for a crate, and I was too busy looking at the loot and not knowing what the fuck kind of gun it was. I was like, is this a sniper? Is this a shotgun? Is this better than what I have? I was like contemplating the loot way too goddamn long.
And somebody
walked up to the crate, didn't even see me looting the crate, was looting the crate, and then I had accidentally switched out my guns, and when you switch out your guns, you there's no ammo loaded into it.
Oh.
So I had no means of killing this guy. Yeah. So when I tried reloading my gun so I could shoot him, he didn't even see me. He heard me reloading and shot me dead. And I was like, holy
fuck. You deserve all of that.
The worst person in the world. Yeah. So it was just me, like, it was just like a death by inexperience, really. Yeah. And
well, there's those, like, every 2 weeks, there's a new gun that goes in those crates.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of stuff I haven't seen, too.
I should have just, like, grab it.
Were you playing first person?
No, I was playing third person.
I don't think I'm ever going back.
You like first person?
I don't see a reason ever to go back, yeah. The other people that I was playing with say the same thing.
Well, is first person squads finally out?
Yeah, it's out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so you can play in groups of four.
Yeah, uh-huh. So I don't know why they delayed it.
I would feel so much more comfortable playing first person, so I understand that. I just haven't done it in a squad yet.
It seems like more fair of a game. I don't know. I don't play enough PUBG to really comment on that, but to me, in the little I have played, it just seems more of an even playing field.
Not only that, when you play in third person, it does feel very wonky. And not only that, I swear, if from first person view, like the transition from over the shoulder to zoomed in down the barrel, it's like there's a delay.
Right.
There's a delay in terms of like...
It's more snappy
doing it from first, you already have almost an on-screen, like, you know, like, of course you have the crosshair regardless in both areas.
I never thought
I feel like from first screen, I'm paying more attention to where my crosshair is placed.
Yeah.
Like that's how you get really, it's like a step above. And when it comes to first person shooters, is always having your crosshair where it's meant to be if you want to shoot somebody in the head. When I'm playing third person,
preemptively, you mean?
Yeah,
right?
Preemptively.
Yeah.
Like in third person, like I'm just more focused on like maneuvering and looking around that I don't really strategically place my crosshair where it's meant to be. But I imagine when you're playing PUBG in first person, you would, whenever you're running, you're going to have your crosshair at headshot level. Whereas in third person, how can you tell if your crosshair is anywhere near headshot level?
Yeah.
Well,
there's a lot more scanning going on too, though, than because like in Counter-Strike, you can do that and be fine because you're running down hallways and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in PUBG, you still need to have your head on a swivel.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much you'll be able to have. And then there's so many heights that a head could be at.
Like
right here, down by that rock. But anyway, either way, I think it's
I think it's a lot less correction, in my opinion, when you're maneuvering first person all the time versus third person switching to first person when you're looking down your scope.
No, I get it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys ever play GTA 5 in first person? Because that was a big deal when GTA 5 came to the PC. They're like, we're going to have first person mode, and people were pretty excited about it, and it did not feel right.
I didn't feel right.
I don't think first person mode would be in like a plus side for me when it comes to Grand Theft Auto. Because in Grand Theft Auto, there's a lot of good stuff to look at. The only thing that I imagine anybody would want first person to like look at more intently on are like tits in Grand Theft Auto. I wouldn't know like what, like for shooting and stuff like that, you know, it's not like a precision shooter.
It felt sluggish to me.
Yeah. And like GTA, of course, I mean, it's not as much of a precision shooter as other games, I feel like, just because there's a lot of environmental.
Definitely.
Combat.
Shooting's always been the worst part of GTA.
Yeah.
Well, man, I feel like every week there's a new mod that people are talking about. And GTA, and they're looking awesome, like really cool stuff. I think somebody just remade London, so you can run around in London now. There's, of course, the superhero ones where you're a superhero, you could go around town. I forget, they're eluding me right now, but there's some that make me want to go back. I think there's a complete overhaul that's like a fantasy version. So people are really working on this.
Yeah. GTA 5, wonder when 6 is coming out.
Who knows?
It's about time.
Yeah.
All right. So what have you guys been playing?
Oh, instead of 6, I think they're working on Red Dead. I think that's a big one right now. Yeah.
That's a good move.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, for what I've been playing, I think I only spent about one good day gaming this week. And then, of course, after our recording, I'll be getting in some really good gaming, too. I managed to beat another game on my completion list.
Oh, it was on your list?
Yeah.
Oh,
Outlast was on my list because I had already gotten so far in it. I picked it up probably at 75% already completed, and I only had the remaining 25% to finish. It still took me a little bit to get through it, because I play that game like the biggest. I kept on calling myself a pussycat because I can't do horror games.
I can't even start that game. So good
like
on you.
Like I completed the game, and I will tell you that was the scariest game I've ever played, because they flawlessly like when it comes to character models, the actual setting, the storyline is pretty interesting, but the jump scares and the feeling of vulnerability and the fact that, you know, you don't have a weapon or anything.
Yeah.
Everything's well, I think everything's well timed.
Yeah.
Like they don't scare you back to back to back where it like gets old.
Pacing.
Or where you think. Yeah. So the pacing is really good. And
so
then
the first Outlast game, right? The very first
one? Yeah, the very first one.
So this one's scarier than Resident Evil, because in Resident Evil you have a gun?
Resident Evil, you fight back.
Yeah.
And in Outlast, you never
what
fight
happened?
Back.
I feel
you're
like
a victim the entire time.
Resident Evil came out, we talked about it for 2 weeks, and then poof, disappeared like it never existed.
Well, I'm almost done with Resident Evil as
really?
Well. Like, I'm probably
Resident
at
Evil
least 70%. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm probably 70% into Resident Evil 7.
I didn't mean just you. I mean, like, everybody was talking about it. Greatest game ever.
Yeah.
Best Resident Evil.
Well, it's
Evil.
A 9-hour game. So once you beat it, it's kind of like, oh, yep, done. Oh, yeah. No replay value in that one, really. So with Outlast 1, this one here, By the way, I love the name Miles. Like, the whole entire game, I kind of forgot what my name was. Oh. But Miles is a great name. So if any Miles are listening to the podcast, you know, I love your name. But anyways, completely random. Sorry, off topic. But with Outlast...
She has a crush on a name.
I do. Yeah, I think I was sharing that. If I had a son, I would probably name him Miles.
Yeah.
Hmm. But
or it sounds like you're going to have a son with a man named Miles, if you ever find one.
What?
What?
I'm with a Max.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Max and Miles. That's close. Kind of a good combo. Well, anyways, so with Outlast, beat the game, and interesting things that I noted coming to the like closing of the game, like areas where I thought I was safe, I ended up not being safe, and it was still challenging because there were areas where I'm like, shit, I don't know where I need to go. I'm probably going to die two or three times just figuring it out. Right. Because like this, the enemy before me, it's not going to make it easy for me. So even though it's a scary game and there's only two things you could really do, run and or hide, they still create these challenges for you.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like an obstacle game. Like, you know, like,
are you like, just figuring out where to go from process of elimination?
Yeah,
like
basically.
You die and then you
because,
try again.
Because, okay, imagine running down a hall and all the doors are closed and there's somebody chasing you down the hall and you know that you can open a door and it can lead to a dead end, or you can open a door and it'll lead to a broken window you can jump out of, or it'll lead to a door which will lead to a vent that you could crawl up into, and it's like, it's almost so it's like trial and error.
Yeah,
like process of elimination.
I don't know if I'm all about that. Like,
yeah, but how much... And it's not fun when there's like literally somebody like ready to rip you into shreds, you know, and you could hear them behind you like grunting and like breathing down your throat. It's not fun. It's horrifying, in fact. This game, believe it or not, okay, this game is only... How long did it take me to beat? Maybe 9-10 hours. Yeah. But it took me over 2 years to beat this game.
Yeah.
Because every single time I picked it up, I could only
help
play in doses. I could be like, okay, I'm never gonna pick up and play this game again, you know. Yeah. It's like, or I would literally just like stop, go into the pause screen, catch my breath, and work up the courage to make it through the next stage. So this is a game that literally like scared me shitless. But the thing is that the boss, I don't want to like spoil too much about the ending, it goes from what you feel like is you know, like a twisted paranormal thing, it becomes more scientific. And it actually reduces your fear factor because you're like, okay, this makes sense now.
Oh.
This is what I'm running from.
Yeah.
And he kind of looks like a buff shadow, so I'm not scared. I'm a little turned on. I don't know. Flail like dicks in your face in this game, by the way, might I add, on multiple accounts.
Dick flailing?
Yeah, yeah. But so it's like, you know, the ending was good. I would say the ending was good. It was a game definitely worth playing. I hear the
if you have 2 years,
the free expansion, the whistleblower to this game,
probably is, really liked
it's
it.
Free.
Is oh, it's not? You sure? It's intensely more terrifying from what I understand, and then it also
did
has
you think
really
it was scarier, Bob?
They kind of upped the ante a little bit on the gore and the horror, but I would actually recommend playing The Whistleblower right after you played Outlast. That's what I did, and it's about half the length, maybe a little less, like two and a half hours. You could probably knock that out. But yeah, it is $8.99 for the DLC.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But
I must have gotten it a severe discount.
Yeah,
because I don't know. Me in the right mindset would never pay $8.99 to expand like that horrific game. I say horrific as in terrifying, not as in bad.
Yeah.
Most likely, I will continue to play Outlast. I'll play Whistleblower. I'll most likely play Outlast 2.
But not this year because you got a lot on your plate.
Well, yeah, but well, when it comes around to Halloween, I'm always in the mood to play these stupid games.
The reason I say you should play it right afterwards is because Whistleblower takes place at the same time. And well, it kind of starts before, then it takes place during, and then you see a little bit after, but it's from a different perspective. There's parts in Whistleblower where you, as another character, go by you, the character from the first game, So like your paths intersect too. So it's great if you play one and then Whistleblower right afterwards, then you kind of
you'll pick up on the
it's fresh. The way if you wait too long, then you kind of forget everything. And it
no, trust me, I already waited too long because it took me over 2 years. Outlast is probably like the sixth or seventh game I've ever streamed, and I started streaming close to 3 years ago, and I finally just beat this game now.
Damn. Yeah. Now, yeah. 2, I think, has a completely different storyline, and I started playing that. I think I played the first couple hours of it, and that's when I have to go back and finish.
So it was a free weekend for Honor. That was a lot of fours in one sentence. I thought it was spelled four, like the number four, because of how many
Amelia,
people you
have where
on your
have
team.
You been?
I don't know. I just thought... anyway, so in case you don't know what it is, it's a three-faction PvP third person with heavy swords, Vikings, samurais, knights.
Very unbalanced from what I understand, too.
I haven't played it enough to know about the balancing yet. The graphics are fucking gorgeous. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Like, probably rank in the top three for me right now as far as what I've seen on my monitor.
Like, attention to detail?
It's just gorgeous.
Or
it's
just, like,
fucking
the combat
gorgeous.
Graphics.
Everything.
The maps are... Yeah, it does look good, but I feel like the maps aren't big enough to really, like, claim that.
It's...
I mean...
I don't know. They feel pretty grand. Like, the towers go up really high. But you can't make us... the battlefields aren't gigantic. It's because it's more of a like a skirmish than a war that you're into. Single player was surprisingly fun with good cutscenes and voice acting. I didn't even know this had a first player a single player. So it has a whole campaign for each of the factions. I'm almost through the night one. I'm having a good time. The story's pretty good. I'm completely surprised by this. The battles seem realistic. So what I mean by that is it looks kind of like Dynasty Warriors, where it's just like all these people all everywhere doing cutting and slashing, and there's not really
That's
much to it.
That's a really good cross-reference.
But it's more realistic. It really is. It looks like the little soldiers, they're easy to kill, but they can chop you down if you're not too careful. Mm-hmm. And if you're, let's say, it's and in a way... It has like these MOBA aspects because if you focus too much on killing another hero, those soldiers will come and stab you in the back and whittle you down little by little. So you have to be aware of your surroundings during the skirmishes. What I also liked is that only happens in the center lane where there's NPCs. On the outskirts, there's A and B and C. On A and C, the right and left, it's just one-on-one battles if anybody shows up. Mm-hmm. So you run over there, you grab a spot, and you hope that nobody's there. So you can just take the spot and then leave. But if there's another guy there trying to capture it, you're on a one-on-one battle. And those are the most intense fights ever. I mean, think about, it's kind of like a Dark Souls fight, but against a person. So you know, they're not that predictable like the NPCs. And
there's blocking, there's parrying, there's, how do you call it, repousseing? Is that the...
I don't think there's a repousse. Parry, though. But okay. There might be. I'm not that good. There's a block, you can go through blocks, there's special moves. Let's see what else. Player base is extremely low for a game like this with a persistent world that needs to be fought. A persistent world that needs to be fought over. You were right last week. You said it was persistent. Yep. Problem is, this is supposed to be like a game where these little skirmishes are deciding who's winning the overall battle on who's gaining territory, the samurais or the other factions. But, I mean, I was waiting forever for games, and then bots were... It's only 8 players per skirmish, and... Like
and
we'd have a bot
playing against AI.
Have one bot on one team and one bot on the other
and
team.
And not only that, like what I noticed when I was playing the beta for this game is that a lot of people would drop out just because they were suddenly bored. I imagine that's why I would drop out of my games. Suddenly bored with just like either the momentum of which way the skirmish was going, or if they rage quit. I don't think I ever rage quit. But I was like, okay, I feel like I'm not, you know, I'm fighting a lot and I'm killing things, but I'm not really seeing how, like, you know, how I'm moving the map. and everything else. The way, for me, there was some disconnect in how much I felt like we were contributing and taking over the battlefield. There are some ways to get some epic kills in this game.
Yeah.
And I've seen plenty of like one-on-one duels, but how was the actual server latency? Because I knew that was a big issue when this game was first released.
Every once in a while, it'll do this thing where it's called resyncing and the game pauses and it makes sure that everybody's all synced up. So I would rather that. I thought it was a nice way to do this because it's not, I mean, you need real precision. If you're going to be blocking mm-hmm. split-second attacks, you need real precision. And I was totally fine with them taking this, like, 2 seconds every maybe three games to, like, make sure that everybody's on the same, you know, whatever, pace or whatever. Or they're synced up with their attacks and everything. So I thought that was good. But yeah, the player base is really what hurts there, but I think the single player is really fleshed out. For $30 I bought it on sale. By the time this comes out, it'll still be on sale. So, I mean, I recommend it, but there's a lot of people that don't like it. So hopefully you tried it on the free weekend. Let's see.
Oh, it's definitely a hit or miss for a lot of people in this game.
Yep, for sure. I think it's love or hate. I don't like that them making up for the small player base, or maybe this is how it's supposed to be, but I had samurais on my team as a Viking and sometimes some knights. I thought maybe they were supposed to be split up. I mean, for me, they should be split up, right?
The races should be split up?
Yes. Right?
All right.
Segregation. Fighting for segregation. Let's see. And the last thing I had here...
I kind of like that, though, that you can actually play whatever you want to play and your teammates could be what they are regardless. It kind of changes the team comp a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I know mm-hmm. one of the, I forgot which character it was, but there was definitely an overpowered character, and I think it was the knight or mm-hmm. some sort. So can you imagine just going up against, you know, all knights or something who have like and some ridiculous like
attack speed. If you have too much of
speed.
One, then they have a weakness to something else.
Yeah.
So there's a way to counter it. I had such a hard time with this game. I think you have to play it with a controller. Did you play with a controller or
nope.
keyboard and mouse?
Keyboard.
I recommend controller for this game. I think that's what a lot of people said when they first played it because of all of the precision swings and whatnot.
And I didn't think... No, that's not what I said, Flying. I said that the game has enough to make up for the $30.
Flying just made a comment in our live Discord chat saying, yay, $30 to flush down the toilet fighting bots.
Yeah.
But you know what? Hey, bots could kick your ass. We just learned about that with the Dota 2 International. Ask Dendi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the single player. Oh, the one-on-one, that's always there. You can fight somebody one-on-one and still gain points for the overall war. And apply your points to take over territory just by fighting one-on-one. And that's really intense. I mean, that's what this game is really all about, is the mechanics.
It's pretty fun, too, because you get to customize your character.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And there's quite a few different characters with different fighting styles. And one of the first things you do is create a crest and our emblem.
Yeah, yeah.
And you always get to rep that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that the player base isn't as large, but I kind of figured that would happen with this game.
It's crazy because you only need 8 players, but they can't get the 8 players together all the time. And during the free weekend. But I'm fine with the one-on-one fights, and I'm fine with the single player. I thought it was worth the $30.
Yeah. Well, it's saying there are 7,200 people playing right now. All-time peak was 45,000. That must have been at release. Today's peak was 11,000. So, I mean, that's a good amount of people playing this game.
Yeah, but why is it taking so long on the free weekend to get a game going?
I honestly think there were a lot of small nuisances when this game was launched that killed its potential clientele. Or is that the right word to use?
That could be it. Or
audience.
Maybe it was the beta. It was so bad in the beta and so good now. Just like you played it in the beta, you weren't convinced. Bobby, you played it. You weren't convinced. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's really good now.
And I would watch my little brother play it during launch.
Yeah.
After launch.
And still didn't look good.
I thought he was going to be a diehard Forerunner person. I almost thought I was going to buy it at full price when it first came out because he was so into it. But I watched him play the game, and all he had were complaints about the servers, big problem. And I can see how that would deter somebody from
wanting to continue to play.
If it's such a precision combat game, and then you're losing because of things outside of your control, that would be beyond frustrating and not make me want to play.
Well, they have the syncing now, so.
I guess that could happen in PUBG, but I feel like in PUBG, it's kind of like, it's such a overall problem that everyone's dealing with that it's easy to just like jump back in and play it again. Whereas like with something as intimate as a one-on-one battle with For Honor and you losing something like that, that would suck.
Yeah, like in PUBG, a battle is going to go on from 2 to 6 seconds usually.
Yeah.
This, a battle is like 15, 20 seconds and or more, or like 30 seconds of like countering and parrying. So lag is way more important, I feel.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've had this cough for like 2 weeks.
I'm sorry.
Somebody talk.
All right. Well, I'll talk about Castlevania. So,
did you play that on? You played it on Steam then?
Nope. I watched it.
Oh, you watched
Netflix.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh my, wait, what? The
it's
movie?
The new TV show, right?
Yeah. Someone was talking about this on Discord.
Did you watch it alone, Bobby?
No, I watched it with my girlfriend.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, I don't know if she's really into it. She was on her phone. I didn't really expect her to be that into it, though. And I was
it's an anime,
hesitant.
Right?
It looks like anime, and that's what kind of turned me off to it, because I don't really do anime. But I was like, fuck it, I'll check it out. It's
it
only
looks
four
like anime.
Episodes.
What do you mean it looks like? Is it anime or
you know
no?
Anime has that look to it.
Yeah.
You look at it and you go, oh, that's anime? That's what it looks like.
So it's animated.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's animated.
Okay.
Right? I mean, what else would it be?
So, yeah. I guess it is animated. That's right.
If it looks like a duck.
Yeah. I was impressed by the voice acting. They did a good job with that. I actually kind of like the story. I wasn't a huge diehard Castlevania fan. I played it back on the Nintendo, but that was really it. And it's only four episodes, and they're like 23-minute episodes. It is so short. It almost feels like a...
one movie?
Not really a movie. It feels like not a prequel, but a origin story kind of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I get that.
It is rated TVMA, which I didn't notice, but there's a lot of profanity and a lot of gore in it. So I wasn't expecting that, but you know, I don't care, whatever. It made for a pretty good story. Like I got into it. It was all about like Dracula and you know, he liked this one chick, but then he got pissed off. So he unleashes all the demons and then they're fighting that. The church is not painted in a good light in this. The Catholics,
is there a lot of combat? I would hope.
Yeah.
Not too much like conversation or anything
there's
being dragged out.
A lot of conversation too. I saw the first episode. I thought it was really good.
Mm-hmm. It feels like they're setting up for something a lot bigger. So I'm expecting more episodes, but I was pleasantly surprised. It was better than I thought it would be. I really wasn't expecting too much from this.
That's awesome. You know, hearing that your complaint was that it was too short is honestly one of the better complaints that you can hear about any animated
for
series.
Sure.
Because I think there's a lot that animes do that to drag out something such as filler episodes. Everyone knows about filler episodes.
Dragon Ball Z, the worst.
Yeah. Or Naruto. And there's so much difference from the anime versus the manga. Like if something's too short, just because it's like, it's a precursor to something more, but the quality was there and it has you yearning for more, then that is a series done right.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
That's very exciting to hear for something that is once video game converted to a series, which is also something very challenging.
Netflix is
to
just
be done,
changing the
to
game
be done right.
all together.
It's just a little confusing because you watch the first episode and they set up the, like what I would call the season arc with that, or maybe even like the entire arc of the story. But then you watch the second one and then they kind of set up like the mini arc and that's what's completed at the end of episode four. Like it's good, but it just felt a little weird that it ended so abruptly. And it's definitely like, it's not like a TV show. It feels like a movie split up into four parts. Like it's very sequential.
Okay. That's good. Yeah.
So I can't wait to watch more of it. Like I guess let's see.
Are we sure it's not a half season, Bobby?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
But I don't know. I don't know how they do it. There's really no rules when you're on Netflix. You know?
Yeah.
It's, you can do what you want.
I forgot who I was talking to.
It was,
you were talking about how Netflix was going to be a game changer, or how they're really like changing the game.
Ooh.
Right.
Yeah. Either one of those works.
But then every time I look at the news, I feel like there's a Netflix original series being canceled after just the first season. So keep in mind, a lot of good that Netflix does, there's also a lot of shit that they're just brushing aside too, just because they have all that money to dispose.
They have way more winners than losers, though, I think.
Yeah, they got a lot of good original content.
Well, they have that contract with Disney now, so yeah.
No. They lost their contract with Disney.
They lost it, really?
Disney's making its own streaming service.
Disney just pulled their content, and they're making their own streaming service, which makes sense for them. Almost everybody else, I say, don't do that, but Disney can pull that off for sure.
Okay, yeah of course.
My Hero Academia, I have heard good things about that, but then, like I said, I don't really do anime. So I've heard that and the One Punch Guy.
Yeah, that one's awesome.
I think I'm probably the anime nerd of the group, but I don't want to bring it up because that's like a dragged out conversation in itself too. Yeah. If I use anime comparisons on top of the like video game comparisons,
yeah. It is pretty close. I mean, there's a lot of crossover.
A lot of gamers like anime.
If you go to that LAN center that we have here in San Diego, you will see everybody playing League of Legends, and then between rounds, they're watching Crunchyroll or whatever that website is.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. All right, let's see what else. Oh, I also played Escape from Tarkov.
Yeah, the beta access?
Yeah, beta access. I paid $40, I believe. Fucking super goddamn sketchy ass site, man. So like you know they're Russians and they want my credit card number, and I'm like, I don't know about this. And then I put in the first few numbers, and you know Chrome usually autofills for you, right? Mm-hmm. And then Chrome tells me that it's not autofilling because it's not a secure site. I'm like, fuck, no, nah, I don't
what
know
site
about
is
that.
This
is their own site, escapefromtarkov.com. Oh, okay. Or whatever. So, like, you could see why I don't want to give my fucking credit card number to them. But I'm like, okay, a lot of people have done this. It seems secure, whatever. So I go to buy the game. Why is it $8.85? Or, I mean, why is it $48.50, not $40, like it said? Well, that's because they gave themselves a tip.
Are you
and
kidding
you
me?
Have gratuity included?
Yeah, and, well, you can check it off, but you have to check it off. They assume that you're going to give them a tip. So it's an $8.50 tip. So I clicked that the fuck off. But then I thought, wait, what if they're only going to hack the fucking credit cards that don't tip them, motherfuckers? I didn't know. Anyway, so it was all sketchy. So far, no fraudulent charges. But let's talk about the game.
All right. And let's not, like, put animosity towards the Russians here as an American.
They're the number
podcaster.
One. They hacked the election. What more do you need?
Oh, they're almost as bad as the Koreans.
Okay, yeah. I'm talking
or
about
gays.
Not going there with anime conversation, but Emilio, you're going there.
Yep. With the Russians. All right. So
tell
what
me
is
about this
game?
Because I'm super interested.
Yeah, so I thought it was going to be like Stalker. I thought it was going to be open world monsters because it kind of looks creepy, but with tactical, those Stalker games, the Chernobyl games, they've been around forever. Russian developers. This is a Russian developer, so I thought, but nope, nothing like that.
I thought it was going to be like a survival game, just like PUBG, but with like more realistic.
I thought so too, but there's some twists.
Okay.
So this is the synopsis. It's a first-person shooter, tactical first-person shooter, RPG, deathmatch. So you,
how do you incorporate the RPG-ness into a deathmatch?
Because it, like, all right, so you go into,
wait, do you go into the deathmatch with character backstory, like, hey, you're about to play against
this
team?
There's no character backstory,
but that's what I think of when it comes to role-playing games. RPG means embedded story.
I'm talking about XP and inventory managing.
Oh, okay.
What was the Tom Clancy game that came out recently? Because that's what it's reminding me of. The Division.
No, not like The Division either.
Not like that. Okay.
No. It's very hard to explain because it has a lot of shit going on. But essentially what's going on is, all I've played is the factory because that's where the low levels hang out. Everybody spawns randomly in this factory. And the point is to get out of the factory. But it's a death match. So you could sneak there and just walk out, or you could fight your way there. But the sound in this game is amazing. You could hear footsteps.
Do you have teammates? Do you spawn at the same time?
But you do, but you don't know where they're at. So you'd have to explain to me. There's no UI at all. So you'd have to explain to me where you are.
That's very realistic.
Yeah, you'd have to be like, I'm over by the crates. And you're like, what crates? But if you know the place well enough, you can find each other.
That's a lot of fun. I like that. Resident Evil Outbreak did that.
There's no way.
That's RPG shoot multiplayer, by the way.
Which one?
Resident Evil Outbreak.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Some people were saying the PC Gamer guys like that game.
Yeah,
one guy
old
did.
School. It's a lot of fun, though.
So there's no way to identify your teammates. So the first time I played this, I shot my teammate. The second time I played it, my teammate shot me. And because it's so sketchy. Yeah, we're dead. It's really realistic guns. There's tons of ammo types. It's like Arma, if Arma was an enclosed deathmatch. I'm doing a terrible job here because it's so weird of a game.
Confused.
Yeah. So
I would love to play this game.
Yeah, I think you'll like it. It's very hardcore. It's very
that's a good word.
Tactical.
If you put hardcore in there when it comes to a video game, I'm like, ooh.
You said it had RPG elements, so there's XP. Now, does this persist through games? Are you leveling up your account, your character, so you can go into other games stronger?
What this whole game is about is getting gear and getting the fuck out. That's what you're trying to do. So, say you start with
the pistol. Are you able to queue with your teammates? Like, in a server?
Yes.
So, do you start in a lobby, first off, before you go in?
Yes.
Or do you just, like, auto-join?
Lobby.
Lobby,
but there's only, like, 10 people per game.
And it's a 5v5?
No teams like that. It's every man for themselves. But
then how are you shooting your teammate if it's every man?
Because you're on comms with them and you're going to try to help each other out. But it's not really any more than that.
So you could have 10 winners in a match?
Yes. Yep.
So if the point is to get out, can't everybody just
But
like, hey,
can you just be the troll and try to kill everybody?
Yeah, but the problem is you got to get stuff.
Why would you go in here and just like help everybody else win and just not shoot each other? Like, why do they give
because
you
need
to shoot
stuff
each other?
And you could only get stuff from killing people.
I'm intrigued.
So you could kill
how much
people?
Is it?
Wait a second.
$40.
You would help out somebody else. The only way you could get
we're not
going to
figure this out. We're not going to figure it out.
Okay. You want gear. You can only get gear from killing.
Other
Period.
Players?
Or other players.
People? So why are you helping out other players if you want to kill them?
Because you're my friend, Chi. I don't want to shoot you in the face.
What?
Because we're playing together. Why would I want to kill you?
Like when you don't shoot people in Arma 3.
Yeah, but then other strangers. It's a 10-man lobby.
You're not friends with strangers. Kill them.
People. So it's really... So what if you went in there with 8 friends? How do you
win? There's no point because nobody would get a gun.
How would you win?
You could just walk out and everybody wins, but nobody gets anything because nobody killed anybody.
You know who's
so
winning?
So you want to go in there with like
right
a small group of players and
I don't
just
see what the problem is. Okay,
this
so
is like a game of like spies.
No,
basically.
No. You kill everybody except for
the people
you
like.
Don't like. Yes, that's the problem. That's it.
You know
and the
what?
Reason you're killing people.
If I played this game with somebody, I'd piss somebody off or vice versa. I'd be killing them. I'd be killing Nico 10 times over. And then,
he'd
or somebody would
you.
Be killing me because I pissed them off by saying something.
Yeah.
You know,
so it's
like
a shooting
stupid.
Game where people shoot each other.
Okay. That is so, but not shoot each other because you want to help them out.
Here's one question that I have. Thematically, does this game feel like it's somehow pulling from, because I hear Escape from Tarkov and I feel like this is the Russian Escape from New York. Is there like a Russian Kurt Russell knockoff in here? Like, do you think there's anything to that
no,
effect?
The escape
no,
part
Russians
of it.
Aren't funny.
Kurt Russell's
I'm just
funny?
Kidding.
We're really jumping on the Russians.
No, I'm just kidding. There's no humor
the escape
Russia.
Part of it comes from escaping the map. And that's the point that All you're right. supposed to do.
So there's no Kurt Russell with an eye patch?
No,
around.
None of that.
All right.
Bobby's trying to save the conversation.
In Russia, we do not laugh. We only cry.
So you're getting gear. You get better guns.
Just
but
kidding,
every
kidding.
Time you go into another game, you can bring whatever you like. So you can only bring in a knife, and then you're not risking very much. But your odds of winning are very, very low. So you bring in a shotgun, but if you get killed, somebody's going to take your shotgun. Mm. So it's a risk versus reward. The more you invest in tactical armor, night vision, all this shit, of course you have a much higher chance of...
Or you could go in with a knife every single round and just like get that one random lucky kill and just like grab all the loot and go.
And then what? What do you do with that loot? You put it on and you use it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you put it at risk and somebody could take it from you.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So that happened to Moogle Mike. He said he had all this great shit. He was like, he wasted everybody. He went to the end, and a guy with a knife jumped on his back and backstabbed and took
and
all his
I
great shit.
Because I do not know how to laugh. I'm sorry. I don't.
That's pretty good.
Better than yours, but not the greatest.
Last thing that's going to make this even more confusing is this scav system. Once an hour, you can play as a scav and not your main account. And as when you play as a scav, you don't risk any of the shit that you have. You just go in with random guns like AKs or shotguns.
Are you able to trade weapons?
Eventually. Not yet. It's still in beta. But then there's weapon sellers outside of the game. Like when you're not playing, you can sell guns and buy guns from them. And there's three different guys that you can do that with. Basically like shops. Mm. Shops for guns.
How much was this to get into beta? 40 bucks. Is 40. It still possible to do that?
Yes.
At this point now, I need to play this game and like give you guys a better review.
Yeah, there you go.
Because like I'm frustrated with Emilio's review of this game.
I don't understand the problem. Okay, so I said the audio is very nerve-wracking and lends to the tension. I would say the audio is the best thing this game has. Inventory management is very realistic. So say you picked up a duffel bag, you'd have to actually search through the duffel bag and then you'd have to inspect every item to see what it is because you don't
automatically...
It's
almost like Diablo where you have to identify items.
Yeah, kind of like that, but you don't need a scroll, obviously. You just kind of look at it for a second. And then once you know what an item is, you know that
item
forever.
Do you get trash items and you have to throw them away?
Kind of. Like if you have a bunch of empty clips, you can sell those. Let's see.
To who? Is the Resident Evil merchant in there?
There's shop owners.
Oh, outside of the game or inside the game?
Outside the game.
Okay.
So
the only people you encounter when you're in a match are just the other enemies or frenemies.
Yeah.
The 10 people in a match total.
Right.
And you don't even need to be shot at or shoot somebody to get out of the map.
Right.
But you want to shoot somebody in order to get some loot and then get out of the map.
Right.
And so these matches can last as long, on average, as long as how?
Well, the factory is very small, so the games are like 10 minutes, maybe that. Maybe as short as 5.
Okay.
But there's way bigger maps that take like an hour or two.
Is this a game that would reward campers?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, because, there's a lot of stealth elements that would keep you alive, I imagine.
Yeah. Oh,
so if you're running around trying to kill people, it puts you at risk. Okay.
The other thing I really liked is your speed is controlled by your mouse wheel. So there's a bunch of different speeds you could go on. You could go full clip. You could pull it back. You could pull back more. There's like a lot. Just like in real life, there's a bunch of different speeds compared to what you need to do. So you're trying to be quiet, but a little, there's a lot of variation, just like real life, which I really enjoyed. And, but I found the graphics lacking. People were saying this game's beautiful. I don't see it.
That was the huge selling point. I think the reason that this was on any of our radars was the graphics were supposed to be spectacular.
But it might be something in my settings because it did not translate, but I have a...
The graphics are obviously better than PUBG or Arma, right?
I think I prefer PUBG.
What?
Yeah.
Because PUBG, in my opinion, PUBG has really kicked it up on their on their graphics. But the player models are really kind of finicky, in my opinion, in PUBG. Compared to like something like this where you could really probably see the details of the weapons and...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let me fuck with the settings before I shit on the graphics.
Okay.
I mean, I put everything on ultra. I don't know what more I can do. I found the shooting to be clunky.
Clunky?
Clunky. I rather PUBG. Maybe it's because I've been playing so much PUBG. I'm used to that. You're definitely way more up on the screen. Like, the gun seems to be coming out of your nose when you have it right in front of you. It just seems kind of weird. I don't know. Hmm. And let's see. It's a great game for gun nuts. And has extreme emphasis on risk versus reward. I think the best thing they did was that scav thing, though, to be able to go in there, you know, with no risk, but mm-hmm. you get to keep whatever you win.
I think that'd be a good way to start out.
You can only do it once an hour.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it would be too good otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
All right. So that's really cool.
It's hard to explain, guys. Sorry. It has a lot of things going on.
I think this is a game I definitely want to play this week.
Yeah.
I would love to play Escape from Tarkov. I think when initially this game was introduced to me, it sounded like something right up my alley. And now that I should be putting money into it, I will be, I guess, just to try it out.
Yeah.
Another game that I do plan to play, and this is mostly going to be a conversation for between Bobby and I, Stardew Valley.
No, I love farming. Actually, I'm going to go pretty.
Well, anyways, so Stardew Valley, on my DLG completion list, I want to complete at least 1 year of Stardew Valley. I loaded up the game, and I made a girl with a duck bill face, and I called her Duck Face. Hmm. And then my farm is called the Ducking Farm. And my favorite thing is Duckin' Face. So, like, that's my entryway into Stardew. What's your name, your farm name, and your favorite thing when you play this game?
I think my name is just Bobby. I didn't get very creative with it. My farm, I think I called it Sexy Farms.
Sexy Farms?
Yeah. And I got a horse named Nacho, but that's about all I remember.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing, though, Bobby? What is your favorite thing?
I can't remember what I put for that. I got to go back to Stardew Valley, but I left off at a point where it's just, it's hard for me to pick it back up.
What year are you in?
2 years in.
2 years in.
I put a lot of hours into that game. I enjoyed Stardew Valley so much.
Yeah.
I wish I could. It's been so long, though. I wish I could give you some tips on how to, like, excel quickly.
Oh, it's okay. Okay, this is the funny part about me talking about Stardew Valley is that I played maybe up to a day, and I was comparing it way too much to Harvest Moon. I was not enjoying myself. I was nitpicking at all the most subtle of things, but I had barely even played more than 15 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
So what I did, and what I normally always do when I play my Harvest Moon games, is that I do a lot of research before I even start the game so I can optimize how I play the game. Because in these type of games, you...
AKA cheat.
Huh? No, it's not cheating.
Cheating.
It's basically, it's like things that I would have learned 2 years game time in, knowing right off the bat, kind of like saves me the frustration. And it's not like cheating, like it's a walkthrough.
No,
it's like, this isn't a game where it's like, help me solve this puzzle. Well, in a way, it kind of is. But it's more me understanding the game without having to go through the, you know, learning it on my own frustration.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby, is there an OP crop?
There's super crops in this game that I otherwise would not have known about.
What's a super crop?
You could grow a giant super fruit if you plant 3x3, if your field's in 3x3 tiles.
So like a giant pumpkin? Like a
pumpkin? Basically. But anyways, there's a lot of little intricacies and little ways to like decorate and whatnot that I've learned, but I haven't even played the game myself. I'm just like setting myself up for success by doing all this early research. And I actually got Max to start his own farm. So it's going to be a game that we're not playing together because co-op, though it is coming out early next year, it's not, I don't think it's available right now unless you use some type of mods. And I am very interested in downloading the mods because one of my early complaints about Stardew Valley is like, this game is fucking ugly. I didn't like the pixel art, but it turns out you're right. It's all created by one person alone. I forgot his name. Do you remember his name? When we found out his
Stardew
name,
Valley guy.
Yeah, the Stardew Valley guy created this on his own time while like his side job, his main job was being a movie theater usher. He actually programmed this game and it's a super successful game. Millions sold at this point, 10 out of 10 on Steam. And he goes by Concerned
Abe. Eric Barone.
Yeah, Eric Barone. This is super awesome. Like, if I wouldn't have been so harsh in my criticisms, if I actually knew that one dude put this all together on his free time, which was like 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, And it was literally, this is his soul child. This is like him and everything, like everything. Obviously he is a Harvest Moon fan, and his favorite Harvest Moon games are actually my favorite Harvest Moon games too. So, I should really appreciate a game like this, and I'm excited to actually play it because I've done already probably, if I could do like the amount of reading and researching and jotting down notes.
You'd probably be done.
No, I've done probably like a good 5 to 6 hours of like watching videos, not even playing this game. But I'm ready to play and I'm ready to like kick ass.
On graphics, aren't the graphics better than Harvest Moon?
No. Harvest Moon has definitely evolved. The graphics are on par with like maybe the first Harvest Moon game I've played because it is just like that retro 8-bit. It's cute. It's colorful, but the character it's obvious sense. This guy has never done much pixel art before. And you could just tell. And none of the bachelors are really hot. So that's my biggest complaint. The people are kind of ugly. That's about it. You can't really complain about like pixel trees or bushes or cats. It's like you just gotta complain about how the people look. So, but no, this game is really cool. I'm excited.
I got complaints about pixel bushes.
Pixel bushes.
All right. What's next?
And yes, I'm most definitely going to play Harvest Moon PC game when it comes out. I've played all the Harvest Moon games up through the classic Wii.
Yeah, see, I never played any of them, so playing Stardew Valley was just such a new experience for me. I think that's why I liked it so much. Similar to that, I've been playing Slime Rancher. Slime Rancher. Chad is...
He's a big fan.
He talked about it last week. Does he?
He was so giddy about capturing the slimes.
He liked
to get
it, but I don't know how much of it he really played. I put in maybe 8 hours.
He likes it, but he doesn't even know that he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
he hasn't played enough to like complain about it yet. Yeah.
No, it's a fun game. It's along the same vein. It's a 3D adventure exploration type game, and also like farming. You collect slime, you put them in pens, you make gardens, and you feed them the stuff from the gardens. You go exploring to get more different kinds of slimes. He did a pretty good job of summing it up last week. You feed the slimes, they poop out this stuff, you sell that, you make money, and then you can buy upgrades. It's basically the gist of it. My one single complaint about all this is that it can be a little grindy. It's a lot of busy work, just running back and forth, doing all these tasks. You don't have to, but that's how you make money, and that's how you get upgrades, and that's how you expand.
Like a town? Are there other people you interact with?
You have a ranch. No,
but you're solo dolo.
There's people that send you mail and you read that. I haven't bothered
with
any of that.
That's lonely.
And you can go to different areas and you can read like little text scripts that have been left.
It's like, oh, there were other people here once.
Yeah, but there's no one that you really interact with.
Can you marry a slime?
No, you can't. Although what you can do, and I don't think Chad brought this up last week, you can crossbreed them. So you take two really...
that's curvy.
You take like a really rare type of slime, and you take another type of slime's poop, and you feed that to the other slime, and then it becomes a hybrid of the two. So that's how
slimes have sex?
Yeah, apparently.
Two slimes, one
by
poop?
By a human centipede.
Wait.
Slimy centipede.
You're going for the episode title here, but I don't know.
Did you like it, Bobby?
Slimy Centipede. Do I like this game? Yes.
So are you a Jolly Rancher?
The slimes. Have you ever seen a slime butthole playing this game? Like, do they?
No.
Obviously, you're dealing with their shit, but you don't see any buttholes.
No.
Where do slimes poop out of?
The bottom part. It just comes
out. It just comes out there. Maybe it's like...
Yeah,
sorry,
one thing
I guess
that's
they're
different
kind of
between this game and the other games like it, though, maybe not Stardew Valley, but I'm comparing it to like Astroneer and some of those other exploration games. This one's not procedurally generated, so everything on every whatever playthrough you do, then you have the exact same experience. Everything's in the same area.
That kind of sucks.
See, this one, if you read the guide, that would be a super spoiler.
But it is fun. I do enjoy it so much that, you know, this is supposed to be the game that I play between rounds of Heroes of the Storm, but I actually find myself, like, sitting a little longer, waiting to queue up because I want to get a little bit more done in this game. And I've kind of, like, reached this... I've reached this new part of it now where I've unlocked the lab, so now I can make blueprints and do even more stuff.
Genetic splicing? GMOs?
No, I can. It has something where I can like bring stuff out of the ground. I don't know. I've got to actually build it and place it, but I got
the blueprint. So you do. Does your gun have any more upgrades outside of
you can get upgrades for your character where you have more energy and you get a jetpack and you get more health. Like there's all sorts of ways you can upgrade yourself, and there's ways you can upgrade your ranch and cosmetically upgrade your ranch, and then you can upgrade each pen that you build.
That's
you can
cool.
add new things to it. This is what I really like about this game, though. It is a finished version of the game. It was in early access for a long time. I think I had it in early access but never played it. And then when it came out last week, that's when I saw it on the front of the Steam page. I saw people streaming it. Like it was a pretty big release, and that's when I checked it out.
Overwhelmingly positive.
Why would you decorate your ranch if you'll never have guests?
No, because you run around it all the time. You want it to look cool, I suppose. I got a nice cobalt blue theme going in my ranch. But I just like the fact that it's a finished game. Like that there's nothing that I'm waiting on. Oh yeah, you can build a basketball hoop and shoot
and play and play basketball by
yourself. I knew she was gonna say.
You know what I need to see? I need to see a GIF of Randy from South Park shitting out a slime from his mouth into the toilet.
Whoa.
That would be the cutest freaking GIF.
Jeez.
What?
Super specific.
No. You haven't seen that South Park episode?
No.
Where Randy convinces everybody to... No. It was Cartman. Cartman actually vomits out his shit.
Ugh.
And there's a part where Randy is like super skeptical the entire time, and then he actually does it once, and he's like he shits out of his mouth into the toilet, and then he's like Sharon.
Well, the other part of that in the episode is they're eating with their butts and shitting.
Oh, they're eating with their butts.
I think
Sorry.
The episode is actually That's, called yeah, How backwards. To Eat with Your Butt or something. But it's like we're talking like season 3. This is pretty early South Park. Yeah. So yeah, Slime Rancher. I am enjoying
the game. Is it a GIF or a GIF? Because
it can be either. It could be
yeah,
either or.
Because the way I was taught, it's GIF.
I don't know. It's. I think it can be, graphical interchange format, but giraffical.
Yeah.
That's a strong point, Zap.
But even if I say GIF, like people have corrected me and said,
here's the
you
thing
mean
about
GIF.
Words. None of them really mean anything. We all just assign our own values to it. So like when people say that's not a word, I'm like, well, until everyone starts saying it, and then it'll go in fucking Webster's dictionary. So, don't knock yourself out trying to argue points that don't matter.
And the other thing, Zap, is like, yeah, sure, you might be technically correct. Like people posted, what is it? Oh, the patent for the toilet paper roll, how it shows that it goes over and not under. That's how it's supposed to go, because there's that big debate. But that's wrong if you have a cat, because the cat's going to fucking put toilet paper all over your fucking house. So there you go. Oh, toilet paper could go either way.
Wow. Oh, here. If you Google how to pronounce GIF, which stands for Graphics Interchange Format, it reemerged this week. Steve Wilhite, the inventor, declared it should be pronounced GIF, like the brand of peanut butter, rather than with a hard
in your face,
G sound.
Zap. So, in your face.
Let's dispute my thing. English once
just
more.
Just because someone creates something doesn't mean they get to decide, all right? We kicked George Romero out of Zombies, and we kicked George Lucas out of Star Wars. So we can kick whoever the fuck that is out of GIF.
Like, you're that a team does not GIF? Mean, team not, GIF over here.
That team does not give a fuck. It doesn't matter. Nihilist. It's
all right. Nothing. Let's scroll down.
All right. So, one more thing I wanted to mention is I picked up Origin Access because Battlefield 1 is finally on Origin Access. $30 for a year, $250 a month. I mean, you can't beat that. You get Battlefield 1, Battlefront, Titanfall 2, a bunch of other little games that I will probably never play. But, I mean, for $30 a year, why the fuck not? And it's like the premium edition, too, of everything. So you get all the goodies. So for the first time, I was able to play a good amount of Battlefront and also Battlefield 1. And I've been having a good time. I've spent so much time in Battlefield 4 that I have all these unlocks, and I don't know. I'm just more comfortable in that game. But I do like Battlefield 1. The graphics are good.
I'd say the graphics are great.
Yeah, I think they're great. Battlefront, I just feel like I'm so low on the totem pole, though. I'm just getting mowed down by people with these like repeating blaster rifles. And I don't know. I feel like I have such a long way to climb that I'm kind of discouraged from playing the game.
Dude, it's just a slaughter fest. It's, I don't know.
Yeah.
You can't stay alive in that
game. It's a very weird game. Like, I almost thought I was playing against AI for a while because I was just like, there's people, I'm shooting them. They're not really, they're just running around like chickens with their head cut off. But the graphics are amazing, and it's
Star Wars. That sounds like a match of Battlefield, most certainly.
Yeah, it feels like the early Battlefield games.
Or is that Battlefront?
Battlefront.
Well, yeah, oh,
Battlefront. But
Battlefront.
The same feels
like it's just like cover to cover, you know, shrapnel, suppression fire. Like.
But in the beginning of any launch, Battlefield, yeah, Battlefront, it's a lot of just people running around. I've never played Battlefront, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Battlefront.
But I imagine
that. It just looks so good, though.
When it comes to Battlefront, so whenever I just, and this is just from an outside perspective, but when I look at a battle of, like, Battlefront Battlefield, I'm thinking to myself, that's probably filled with casuals. Like, I feel like the type of combat that is involved, it's not going to be, you know, like, it's not going to be as appealing to precision shooters.
That was the big knock on that game.
Really? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So
you nailed it.
My that assumption
exactly
is not wrong.
It was.
Okay.
That it was too casual. They were trying to appeal to the masses, and by that, they made a game that's not fun.
Mm. Yeah, it sold millions of copies.
Yeah, well, yeah, it had Star Wars attached.
Yeah. I mean, they
it wasn't critically acclaimed.
Critically acclaimed.
Yeah. It was like really poor, but
it's not going to be in the Criterion Collection, guys. I'm sorry.
It had bad reviews, even though it sold millions of copies because of the Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
Nobody liked it.
Yeah, but it still made a hell of a lot of money. Call of Duty makes lots of money, but all right. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't want to talk about it for too long because it's been out for forever. So I'm coming late to this. I'll probably check out Titanfall 2. What's crazy is each of these games takes up 50 gigs, which takes a while to download.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Origin, at any time, only have one game installed, and then I'll uninstall it and reinstall.
Yeah, for sure, because I forget that Origin's there taking up all that room.
Yeah.
So Bobby gets hard.
Where?
Right. See? Boom. It's so funny. It really holds up.
Every time. Okay, so the Threadrippers are out, the AMD CPUs, and apparently these are the real deal. It's so weird that AMD is just like back possibly on top, like the benchmarks from what I've looked at.
And it's all about the benchmarks, baby.
There's always the argument, multi-threaded versus single-threaded, you know, is it better for gaming? But just all around, the benchmarks seem to be much better on these CPUs. Now, you're spending, for the 1950X, you're spending $1,000. Now, this
crazy.
Is supposed to rival the X, or the i9,
yeah, the top of the line.
9000 or whatever yeah. Intel's new one is. And that one goes for about $1,150 or thereabout. So it's even a little more expensive and gets outperformed a lot. For the first time in over a decade, I'm considering buying an AMD CPU. Like, that's crazy. I never thought the day would come.
There's a huge price difference between the top one and their second one. I think it was $1,000, and then the other one's $500.
The 1920 is still...
Or is it $800?
Yeah, maybe it's that one. I didn't look up that one. But the 1920X is only slightly cheaper. But that one is still like a beast.
I found this to be really like cool to look at. Like, I never thought this would happen. NVIDIA tweeted, well, it turns out that the Threadripper and the 1080 Ti work really well together. And then AMD retweeted and responded thumbs up. Like, just it was first and then second. Like, nobody in between. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I thought it was really cool, actually.
So the 1920 is $800. So that's a lot to spend on a CPU.
This is a CPU. Has AMD ever crossed over into CPUs before?
They used to make them, right?
Wow.
Or they've always been making them this whole time.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's not talk about hardware.
When I think of AMD, I only think of GPUs. Is that so wrong?
You guys ruined the podcast.
They're known for their CPUs,
AMD
right?
AMD used to be known for making CPUs that worked really well with gaming. So they were the CPU of choice by gamers. And, you know, I remember getting like an FX 55 back in the day, and I was just like, holy shit, I finally have an AMD.
I didn't know either.
Yeah, so yeah, they made CPUs before.
But they haven't in a while, right?
No, they have. They just haven't been as successful as Intel's. Intel has really cornered the market on the high performance.
You know what? I'm pretty sure I knew that AMD CPUs existed, but it, you're right. It's probably been
been at the forefront.
Yeah, for so long.
It's been a while since people have really even.
I probably had an AMD.
We meant have they been making relevant?
Pretty sure CPUs? I still have an AMD CPU.
I have talked actually, on the podcast. You know what? So I really
this
like
is
their
so
Fusion.
Bullshit.
I'm usually in the bathroom.
I'm gonna like take my old computer out of storage, and I'm going to look inside and find an AMD
probably
CPU. Yeah. I'm going to take a photo and show everybody.
I think I spent around $1,000 on that FX55, and each CPU has a code name when it's coming out. And the code name on that one was San Diego. So I was very excited about that.
Okay.
All the reviews that I saw, everybody's pretty much gushing over these things. And, it has something over where, like, when you're playing, like you said, they're optimized for video games. It'll just, all the computing power will go to the game as opposed to the Intel cards, which I saw was the big difference between them.
Yeah. And I've been having some trouble with my computer. I've been having blue screens, all sorts of issues.
Oh,
so
no.
I'm at, and like, Heroes of the Storm games crashing on me, like, a lot. So I'm at the point now where I'm really considering, and oh, I didn't mention this, but I got my old position back at work. So, you know, after all this bullshit that's been going on since like March, nothing changes.
Yeah. Less games, more money.
Are you still at the different school?
No, I'm going to be at the same school I was always at, making the same amount of money. So, you know,
interesting.
No financial strain here, and I got a lot of money saved up. So I could definitely make this happen. But I've got a lot of research to do. And if I do build a new machine, then I think I'm going to get a Threadripper, and I'm excited to try an AMD processor after all this time. I would love to try even an AMD GPU, but I don't know. I'd got to do the research and see what's on top. From what I hear on the Vegas, the 1080 Ti is still a little bit better.
But I mean, it's cool if you just get the GPU, because even they tweeted out that they work together really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm used to the ecosystem, the NVIDIA GeForce and all that.
Me too.
So, yeah. All right. So also in hardware, I had a chance to check out the Bloody USA keyboard. Let's see. The
Is that here?
Mm-hmm. It's right up there.
You can try it out.
I'm going to go mess with it.
Oh, yeah. Go grab it.
Yeah. So this is Bloody Keyboards. Their model is B820R.
It's on their higher end. I believe it's $90?
Yeah, Amazon sells it for around $90.
Yep.
So let me give you a little backstory here. I've been using the same keyboard for a long time. Like for the last 10 years, I've been using DOS keyboards, which the big selling point on these DOS keyboards is they don't have any print on the keys. You can get other keyboards that do that as well, like Happy Hacker keyboards.
Or you could buy Whiteout and have the same effect.
Yeah, that's kind of ghetto though. I mean, that's the big selling point of this keyboard that I've been using for so long. So it was really nice for me to play with a new keyboard that actually, you know, is centered around gaming and has some of these nice features. One thing that I love that they're doing, and a lot of keyboards are doing this now, is the keys stand off like this flat plate. So it's not like the keys are inset in the keyboard. And this, number one, makes it super easy to clean and dust out, which is like the biggest pain in the ass on keyboards. And it also, if there's any spills, then it's very easy to clean up as well.
And apparently the liquid isn't going to damage anything like other... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they advertise on this Bloody keyboard like nano-coated or something like that, so it's protected against spills, which, I mean, I drink so many rock stars and energy drinks at my computer desk. I rarely have any accidents, but, you know, stuff like that does happen.
Well, said energy drinks are making you shake as well, so you're more likely to drop them.
I definitely eat at my computer all of the freaking time, and I am guilty of not wiping my hands when I touch my keyboard and or my mouse. I'm sorry, that's disgusting, but it's
either.
The truth because
I had ants in my keyboard.
When I watch my Netflix, I like to watch it at my computer instead of on my big screen for some reason. That way I could just alt tab if I get a little bit bored of whatever show I'm watching and kind of like double, like, you know, do two things at once. Then not only that, like when I'm gaming, I get hungry and I don't want to stop gaming. So I'll just eat and game at the same time. And it's, you know, it's caused many deaths, many spills.
Of keyboards.
No, actually, my keyboards last forever. I don't know what it is about me and my keyboards, but I will use them until they're literally rotting. I will use my keyboards until like keys have popped off and there's no way to get them back on. And then where like
that's another thing about these, you can pull off the keys and replace them super easy. It comes with a little tool,
yeah,
and replacement keys.
And all of my keyboards and everyone else deals with it too. It's where like you know the WAS has like nail marks in it. It's like super engraved on there, and then on top.
Whiteout. Whiteout will just rub off. It's the biggest innovation.
Like you're rubbing off whatever material is on here. It's gonna rub off too. But no, yeah. And then like the keyboard that I'm using, it's I forgot what it's called, but I went to Fry's and got it, and it's an Ozio keyboard, and it's a mechanical one. It's very loud. This one's not that loud.
No. Yeah, for sure.
I like the raised keys. And yeah, like you said, it would be very good for easy cleaning.
I love the look of it. I think it's like a solid piece of steel. It looks like a solid piece of steel with just these floating keys above it. It's beautiful in a simplistic way.
The first thing I noticed when I plugged this in and started using it was how much quieter it was than my keyboard, which has mechanical Cherry MX Brown keys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's
the Brown. Are those the quiet ones?
Yeah, they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
But still, my keyboard's a little noisy. It's got a sharp click to it. These ones, the keys kind of feel spongy almost when I press them. It's got this optical switches, they call it. It's kind of a relaxing feel almost when I use it. I really enjoyed it. I'm in a tough spot here because I really like the feel of this keyboard, and I honestly feel like I play better. I tested it on first-person shooters, on MOBAs, I did typing tests on websites, you know, and I like the feel of this keyboard a lot better than the one that I use, but I just like having no print on my keys. I just think that's so cool. It's just kind of something to show off for people.
Weirdo.
This keyboard, oddly enough, reminds me so much of the keyboard that I have.
It's a black keyboard. Well, Sharpie would do that for you.
This is what I did. I installed the software when I got this bloody keyboard, and some people I've read have complained about the software being a little hard to figure out. It is. I could see where it could be tough, but it comes preset with all these programmable settings on it. It's a light up keyboard. So if there's a function key on it, you press that and you press like F1, 2 or whatever, and it changes it to like red, green,
rainbow, all that
yeah,
stuff.
Rainbow. It changes it to where they have key animation. So where if you hit a key, then it's like a little shockwave spread through the keyboard, which is a very cool look. I don't like any of that stuff though. I like no lights on my keyboard. So I did my own custom preset where there's just no lights on at all ever. And I was able to do that fairly easy with the software, and then it was perfect. It is kind of hard to read the print when you don't have the lights on it. So if you have to look at the keys when you type, if you're one of those people, then that may be a challenge for you.
If you're the majority, I could see how this could be hard. Yeah. Is basically what he's saying.
Wow, you must really like that keyboard, dude, or that aspect, because you're basically saying that this keyboard is better in every way except for that one thing.
He's basically saying he games blind.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And that it might even, well, okay, so for me, what they advertise is definitely what they deliver. The reaction time to you wanting to push a key to it being pushed is shorter than it just happens. It's almost like you barely have to think about it and it happens, as opposed to like actually thinking about it, then pushing, then it happens. You know what I mean? Because it takes so little to trigger these. But on the downside of that, I got big mitts. So I feel like I'm kind of accidentally hitting keys from time to time. No, I'm not accidentally hitting keys. I never knew that I would rest my certain fingers on certain places, and just the weight of my fingers is enough to push this. So it just takes some getting used to. But I like the look of it. I like the sound. The sound level is perfect.
Yeah, it is so much quieter. And that's like a big issue. If you stream, then the noise of your keyboard or your mouse, like that's something
you need
to consider.
It's very distracting, and I can say that.
And plus, I use comms all the time. I'm always on comms with the people that I'm playing games with. And I'm one of those guys, like, I think it's kind of rude if you got a lot of background noise or if you don't have a very good mic or headset. It's like, dude, you're putting that on all of us, you know.
To be
we
honest,
are suffering because of your terrible equipment.
No, to be honest, like,
You don't type.
I have a very loud mechanical keyboard, and I kind of like it for my stream because it almost justifies that, yes, I'm fucking with the keys. You could hear me gaming even though I'm not talking. Mm. And it's like, it's just like the, you could hear the frustrations of a gamer too when I'm going crazy on my keyboard, you know. And a lot of people actually will stream their push keys, their actual, like, mouse and keyboard. And then for me, it's like, I don't want to put that on the screen. I don't need to have people see what I'm typing or like what buttons I'm pushing. But like, I don't mind that my keyboard is loud as fuck because I love my keyboard. I love the way it feels. Like, if, and I've been in those like channels where I'm listening to other people type and it's really fucking annoying, but that's only if they're leaving their mic on and all you hear is their typing. But if you, you hear their typing behind their talking, then it's not so bad.
You use push to talk, don't you? When you stream.
When I'm on Discord. When I'm streaming, you're on Discord. No.
Oh, I see. Well, I've watched your stream several times.
I'm not typing all too often. And
I've watched your streams a bunch of times. It's never been an issue.
I'm either talking a lot or even have music playing, so it kind of drowns out the keyboard noise. Plus, using a really nice mic helps with that too, where it kind of drowns out the background noise.
Bobby,
guys,
remember,
I actually game right next to a very large refrigerator, and I don't think you could even tell.
No.
Yeah, you can't tell.
Bobby, remember Zaya and Geyser? Their fucking keyboards. God damn it, dude. These are guys we used to play Smite with.
But that's when they're not talking. It's when you're just listening to them.
When you're playing a MOBA and you're in the middle of a team fight and everybody is smashing keys and you're one dude. And usually you're communicating. So if you're using push to talk, then you're hearing it. And or if you're using, what do they call it when you cut off the noise gate, when you cut off a certain level of noise. So when you talk, then it turns on. Discord does that. So it's always going to be on because you're talking and then you got the keys going in the background and people are usually just smashing a key. Yeah, it can be very disruptive.
Well, so my final review on this is if you love the tactile feel of the mechanical keyboard, this is probably not for you because you're not going to get any of that. It just, you push and it just goes down super smoothly.
Yeah.
I think spongy was exactly the right.
Spongy is a good word for
it. It's a good word for it.
When you first described that to me, you didn't use the word spongy, but you described it to me, and I thought, well, that sounds like it's going to be difficult for me. But I was pleasantly surprised by it. I mean, I'm coming from the DOS keyboard, and then at work I use a Logitech K750, which is a solar-powered keyboard. So it's just, I don't have to replace batteries and it's wireless. So that's nice. But Logitech does it like the little pillow keys, which are very weird. It's kind of good for typing. I can't imagine gaming on it.
Yeah. I totally see what you guys are saying here. It looks and feels like a mechanical keyboard, but when you're typing, it almost feels like one of those flat, like almost like basic keyboards. You don't hear it and you could bear it, like, and you don't really get that return
Tactile feel. They got a bunch of different models on their site too. This is one of the higher end ones. They have a few more with bigger features. I don't know if they have any that don't have any print on the keys. If they did, I would definitely get one of those. But I don't know. I think I will use that one a little bit more and just play more with it. I swear, if anything gives me a competitive edge in a game, then I'm sold.
And that's what I'm trying to... that's the upside of this. I think this... If any keyboard is going to give you competitive edge, it's something with this kind of MS response. I think it's like 0.01 or 0.1 or something.
And it's
like
important
that.
To remember, like, 0.2. Anything that you find a little awkward at first, you will get used to after a while.
Yeah.
Some things just have a warm-up period to it.
Yeah, that's like the shooting in Tarkov, what I was saying. Like, maybe I'm just not used to it. It's weird. Although I shot Moogle Mike right through the head, right through the eyes when I wasn't trying to.
Can I see that keyboard for a second?
Sure thing.
How long is this cord here?
It's not very long,
really,
in my opinion.
It's very long to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is pretty long.
Yeah.
I think it's a fair length. It's definitely a fair length, but it's not like...
How far are you from your monitor? I think it's longer than most.
Yeah, and I like...
At least on bar.
I like the length, though.
The cord is wrapped in like a cloth mesh.
Yeah.
So it's...
Almost looks like a shoelace, really.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
A shoelace on a boot.
Yeah, I mean, I wish it would be all black, but this, I mean, rather than having a rubbery one, like, that's much better.
What's with you in all black? No, all
yeah,
black.
Yeah, all black everything.
It's white walls and everything else is black.
Yeah.
Although, Bobby doesn't dress in black a lot.
I used
no.
to.
Yeah.
I could see that
guy.
I could totally see that.
In your Columbine days?
I could see those, like, large black cargo pants with the chains.
So I could definitely recommend this keyboard. It just takes getting used to.
Yeah, I kind of eased into it pretty quickly, but yeah, solid keyboard. All right, so I think that does it for hardware. Let's talk a little news before we take some listener questions.
We already covered that. So Destiny 2 has a PvP trailer. I never played Destiny, so it's not what I expected. Or maybe that's just the way they edited the video. It looks like a deathmatch from, what do you call it? Oh, God damn it. I'm at a loss here.
Another shooter game?
Like the really fast-paced, like Doom. Doom when it's like multiplayer.
Doom.
Yeah, okay. The old Doom. That's what it looked like to me in the trailer.
Like Doom or Quake?
Yeah, like Quake. That's what I was looking for. Fast-paced Twitch shooting is what it looked like, but with abilities.
So, and there's obviously a lot of mobility. Like, you're able to use a jetpack
and
jump up and down different multi-levels.
So, I don't know if you have the answer to this, but is the idea that you go into the raids and you level up your character and then you take them into multiplayer and
don't know.
Strut your stuff? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's so weird because Destiny has such a big following and such a large player base. And all those people are excited for Destiny 2. And then there's the people like us who never played Destiny because it wasn't on PC and are just coming into it raw. And we're just like, well, we hear it's good. What if it's like a terrible game?
No, to be honest, I know plenty of hardcore PC gamers that have played it on console and enjoyed it a lot or even hardcore MMO players that have played it on console and enjoyed it a lot. I imagine when Destiny 2 does come out on PC, we're going to see where it's generated for console or it's targeted for a console player. But I think there are a lot of like modern day elements to a shooter MMO.
Bringing it up
that
to speed.
That we would like.
I think it's the editing.
I'm still anticipating Destiny 2, and it's just another MMO, in my opinion, that's going to have like everyone playing it. Like, in no doubt in my mind, are all of us, or at least three or four, going to be playing Destiny 2.
I'm scared of this game, honestly.
There's no other real, like, it's more common for shooters to convince your friends to play, but MMOs these days, good luck trying to get me on anything. Oddly enough, which kind of opens up to our next topic.
Yeah, what the fuck? I guess you guys should be talking about Final... what is it? What's the...
Stormblood.
Because Final Fantasy XIV has 10 million players.
Yeah, Final Fantasy XIV is a great game. It's a good MMO. I never really have bad things to say about Final Fantasy XIV, except for, from what I understand, the community was... It's always there, but it's a community from players from all around the world still. So they're counting those numbers, like people that you won't necessarily be
interacting with.
10 million?
10 million, dude.
Yeah.
That's didn't subscribers? At its peak,
WoW had like 14 12, or something.
Yeah, 12, 13, 14.
This is gigantic.
Yeah.
where are we getting these numbers from?
Whatever headline I read.
Confirmed. Citation needed.
But okay. No, it's a good game, and from what I understand, it's got great endgame, but then for a while, Final Fantasy XIV's endgame just really died out. They needed Stormblood, and this is basically what is saving the game, because there was really nothing, and well, with
even,
WoW...
Even though it's overwhelmingly negative on Steam, but I think that was technical issues.
It's overwhelmingly negative,
which I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Yeah, well, that's due to something.
It was technical. Yeah.
Yeah, there was some
server issues or some shit.
Was it that, or was it something with the payment?
Yeah, like, payment.
Yeah, they changed it in other countries where they were actually had to pay more, and they did
like
it kind of in an underhanded way that people were not happy about. So, yeah, it was something outside of the game that people were upset about. Huh. Okay, yeah, still not going to play it, though, sorry.
Yeah,
me neither.
All right, we ready for some listener questions?
Yeah.
All right, first one coming from Steven Sensei. Have you thought of a... I'm going to start again. Have you thought of instituting a swear jar style system for when anyone talks about console games or mobile games that are not available or not being ported to PC?
It's tough because there's so many crossover. Like, you'll want to bring up another game from another platform to kind of explain what something is. So it's hard to like, it's hard not to keep it out of your mouth completely.
We should have like a fake shit. News jar. Because apparently yeah. we're really bad.
Yeah, like the 10 million players.
Or, offering like you know, authentic news on our podcast. So I feel like, you know, console games and mobile games, you're very right, Emilio. It's like there's so much that can be pulled in from those games in terms of like relating the information. And honestly, like a lot of like PC gaming or gaming in general or any type of entertainment, anything, it's all influenced by something or another.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it bleeds over into other things. So hard to completely skip console or mobile as hard as we try. All right. Are we doing this next question? Is that happening?
Yeah. And actually, I made a game out of it.
Okay. All right. Next question. Which character do you normally make?
So it's funny that he said that at the same time that I was thinking about making this game. And then I...
What do you mean, which character do you normally make?
And like when you're creating character. You mean the person who asked the question.
Oh, like you make yourself generally, right?
Yeah, like when you're picking classes and shit.
Oh,
like which
okay.
class and stuff.
Oh, which classes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And stuff like that. So anyway, and I was just, I already had this in my head, so that prompted me to make this game. So you're not making a character here, guys. I'm just asking I'm going to read this list. Which one sticks out to you most? Ready?
Okay.
They have nothing to do with each other. They're not in the same game. They're just words. Engineer, hunter, soldier, ninja, pirate, flamer, explosive expert, paladin, dark knight, summoner, mage, healer, medic.
Mage.
Either paladin or engineer.
Paladin or engineer. Yeah, for me, I would probably go...
Is there like a fortune cookie answer? Now that he picked paladin, is there like, is there something... revealed about his character?
No.
What does your game character say
like
about you?
More than anything
else. If you
else,
like paladins, that means you're always looking out for the better of the group.
Yeah, well, whatever like that means to the people
you're
listening.
You're technically not the man in charge, but then at any time when you need to step forward, you are there. And everyone loves you, because who doesn't fucking love someone that can take hits but also heal you at the same time?
Yeah.
See, I always
that's like what I think.
I associate, when I hear those classes, I associate them with experiences that I've had in other games. So if I hear engineer, I think of all the hours I spent in my youth playing Team Fortress Classic as an engineer. If I hear paladin, I remember all those hours I spent playing World of Warcraft as a dwarf paladin. So, yeah, I definitely gravitate towards those.
Am I wrong, though? Aren't paladins generally the... Like they basically partially play like a support character that steps up a lot.
They're like a hybrid of a tank and a support.
Yeah, basically like where you're like what role you need filled, they're filled.
Games use a lot of that shorthand. If you say like you're picking a mage character, you know what you're signing up for. You're going to do a lot of damage, but you also go down really easily. Yep. So you got to keep your range.
Can you give me a My Fortune Cookie debrief on why I would be a mage?
Yeah, because you like to go hardcore and kill shit. And not worry about other people.
And if I die, I blame it on somebody else. Like
for
the
me,
tank
I would go
the
summoner,
healer.
Probably because of the pet that you're probably going to get. But I don't know what about my personality makes me love pet mechanics so much. All right, which of these perks would you pick? 10% damage, 10% speed, 10% to defense, or a healing aura?
10% damage.
Yeah, that was for sure.
Mm. Yeah, that's always the safe bet to go. Like if any game, I've learned if you're playing any game and they give you an option to get an upgrade in a certain area, it's best just to either put it in damage or health. Like first person shooters, like I think health is always the way to go.
I never stack health. I always stack damage and or accuracy, usually. Yeah.
I feel like that's what the game expects you to do, is like just put it in health, because eventually you're going to get to a point where you need a larger health pool.
I always like speed buffs personally, but we'll see. Position. Would you rather be on the front line, tactical, which is like middle, defensive in the back, a flanker or an interloper?
An interloper?
You know, like a spy or somebody stealth.
Okay.
Usually front line. I like to play warrior tank classes.
Did you say mid?
Yeah.
Mid.
Mid. And then I would I always flank, probably to my detriment, all the time. I just, firefight breaks out, I'm already looking to right and left. What's the better option? Background, drifter, princess or prince who is secretly trying to prove himself, honorable soldier, anti-hero, villain, or tortured soul.
How about the hero that comes up from nothing, like the poor one? Like the from rags to riches kind of hero.
Put that in there.
Yeah,
but,
that's
one of the options.
That's generally my option. Yeah. I picked the one that was like
the backstory. That doesn't really.
But if you had to, which one of these you're like fuck it.
I don't know. What
Why
was
not the drifter? That way drifter. You could just like make up your own backstory.
I'm not really drifty.
Let's get drifty.
I don't know. Maybe the the good guy. If I'm a paladin, then I'm going to be like the noble dude.
I'll probably go with anti-hero or villain. And last one, weapon. Again, we're not building a character. This is a soul by itself. Sniper rifle, long sword, dual-wielding daggers, hand-to-hand, bow, assault rifle, proximity mines, wand/staff.
Assault rifle is just so generic. You know, that's like the default.
It's almost always good, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's almost always the easiest to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to be very typical with my answer, wand/staff.
Because it goes with your mage, too.
Yeah, it goes with that.
Yeah, I'll go sword.
Probably bow. Sword. I've probably picked more archers in games than any other thing, because they also usually have
You would
pet.
Definitely be the hunter class. So the way I see it, Bobby's our paladin, I'm the mage, you're the hunter, and then what's Chad generally? He's the tank, right?
He heals. He either heals or he's like a paladin.
He's
shaman.
A paladin too?
He shamans it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's a pretty good team comp.
I just want to give you guys, like, it didn't really mean anything. Nobody won or lost, but that'll give you a sense of our personalities.
But on top of that, too, this is very helpful. Playing with people who play other characters that complement what you like to play. Like, if both me and my brothers all like to play DPS classes, we're fucked. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, naturally, I like the squishy classes. Like, I almost always pick cloth classes first. And then for my brothers, one naturally likes to play, like, the support or the paladin class, and the other one likes to play the tank class. So it's
like a perfect. And I think that's just because I've always felt like they were a dime a dozen, and most of them are bad. Most of them are not good. Because when you play DPS, like in World of Warcraft, it's just you have one tank, one healer, and three DPS. So it's like it's never hard. If you're a healer, like, you are a rare commodity. Like, you can always get into a
healing
rare
is not hard. Healing is very boring.
Yeah, but nobody wants to do it. So, like, everybody wants you on.
No, that's not true. There are people that like to do it.
Not as many as who want to be.
No way. It's way
action hero in the front, you know, doing all the damage.
I like
stuff.
one of my most profound World of Warcraft memories is we were going to be server first to defeat this like big giant eyeball monster. I don't remember what raid, but I just remember the monster was at like 10% health. And I was on a string of critical damage. And I saw in the meter that I was like, I wasn't like anywhere like over the tank, but the rage meter was pretty high on my thing. And literally, like, I was like, oh my God, if I crit one more time, the guy is fucked. And I could have like held back. I could have like just not have thrown out one fireball.
I think, right?
And like, yeah, one fireball. But then I was like, you know what? Whatever. This guy is almost dead. We'll just like pound through it. And no, I pulled aggro from the tank 90% into the fight. At that point, then and there, I was like, is this tank fucking doing his job? If we're 90% in and you allowed your like somebody to out DPS your aggro.
I think the reason you have your aggro meter is so that you can back off when you're going to go over the tank.
But that's the thing. It's like, I wouldn't have to worry about aggro, but it's just that my criticals are like off the chain. Yeah. And I'm always like at least top DPS mage at the very least.
And if the tank always held aggro, the game would be boring.
But it's not hard.
Bobby always holds aggro, by the way.
I'm just kidding. It's probably really hard to hold aggro. That's why I would never play tank.
Mm.
All right. So what's next?
Let's see. Coming from Flying Hawaiian, is it gay if he wore a condom? Technically, he didn't touch you. I feel like we're getting half the story there.
Well, I kind of feel like I've heard of straight men who are gay porn stars. But then I'm not convinced they're actually straight. No, just because they
that's
say
a whole
they
genre.
Are.
Yeah.
It's like saying you're something but doing something else. It's a hypocrite.
You got penetrated, bro. Sorry. All right. Lab Monkey says, who is your video game bae? His are Samus or Lightning from Final Fantasy.
Lightning, really?
Yeah. Hmm. I'm going to have to go with Chun-Li. Because when
Chun-Li?
When I was an adolescent young male, those thighs drove me nuts.
I've never cosplayed as Chun-Li, but I know I'd fucking kill a Chun-Li cosplay. Because my thighs are fucking nuts. Like, it's like that's the only cosplay that makes sense for me, really.
You should do it.
I don't know if I've ever developed feelings for a female character in a video game.
You know who mine is? Oh, no, it's not a PC gamer. Oh, fuck. I can't say it because she's not on PC, but Samus isn't really on PC. My video game bae is Aya Bria from Parasite Eve, the original game.
You just spoke Japanese to me. I don't know.
Well, I mean, first name Aya, last name Bria. Yeah. If not, I'll think of another one.
Bobby, nothing?
PC related.
Thought was hot.
I'm not kidding. Well, I mean, hot, yeah, sure, but like... I don't know. Maybe I'll go with Samus. I mean, that was cool because at the end of the game, when you beat the game, you saw her without her suit of armor.
Dude.
That was like the whole point. Yeah, I know. Spoiler alert on a 30-year-old game.
Yeah.
You should just be like, all the girls from Dead or Alive.
Want to read that one for us, Bobby?
Let's see. Mushroom Buddha asked, why do you guys try to keep the podcast short? I feel we are missing out on stuff because of the time crunch. Okay, number one, you are not missing anything.
And I don't think our podcasts are short at all.
I think what he's saying is, like, why are we always, like, checking on the time?
Yeah.
Doesn't want a long podcast.
Yeah,
I don't care.
I've been a big advocate of keeping it on the shorter side, under 2 hours, just because I personally have stopped listening to podcasts because they were too long. I really liked the podcast, but I've stopped listening because of the length. And I, even though that's not a problem for a lot of people, I know for some people it is. And I'd hate for someone to stop. No one's going to stop listening because our podcasts are too short. You know, the old phrase, leave them wanting more. You know,
We were doing that. If you would have told me that was our strategy, that would have been sweet. I would have been complaining all this time. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that and also if we just say, okay, we can make this however long we want, you're going to get a lot of bloat.
If anything, guys, the real answer is our podcast is too short because Emilio's bladder is too small.
Yeah.
So
I don't think there's
not too short.
I don't think this podcast could, if we were doing this according to Emilio's bladder, our podcast would be like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So I don't think we can pin it on that.
I'm not even drinking this time.
I mean, it's important to edit yourself though. I mean, if you ask anyone who makes anything creatively, like you have to be able to limit yourself because otherwise you're going to put out a lot of excess. So I think it's healthy for us to try to keep it short. We trust us, guys. We aimed when we started doing the podcast, we aimed for an hour. We never, ever made that. We aim for an hour. We do an hour 45. We aim for an hour and a half. We do 2.5, mm-hmm. You know? So it's good to just have that mindset, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think Gym Class Hero is high or something. How do we have a podcast if our ears aren't real?
Is he mocking something?
I have no idea.
This is a reference to something?
So, I don't know. I think if you make a podcast and nobody listens to it, is it really there?
It was for me.
Okay, that's good. Yeah,
it was for me too. Okay, so like the first 12...
Chat's telling us it's a meme. Is there a meme that we're not aware of?
Okay, so with this...
Somebody consult a 15.
So guys, if you haven't caught on to this previously
from Jaden
before,
Smith. Okay, I got it. All right, I'm hip to that. I know what those are.
Oh, I don't know. But anyways, it took me 12, how many months in until I realized, we actually had a decent listening?
Yeah.
I honestly thought we only had 12 listeners to the podcast.
I made the joke one time that I was like, oh, it's only going out to 14 of you. And she just stuck with it. She ran with it. In her head, she was showing up week after week to come talk to 14 people.
Yeah, I'm dedicated.
Yeah.
I do it because I love
it. That shows the
tenacity. Not for the fame, honestly.
Yeah.
It's very obvious, though. I feel like a lot of what I do, I don't do it for the fame.
But that was
there's
before
so
Discord,
many people,
too.
Like, especially on my stream, I get almost, it almost feels like I'm being scolded. Where they're like, chi, where was my alert? Chi, why aren't you on Twitter? Chi, you know, yeah. It's like, when's your actual stream schedule? It's like, they're like, you know, it's like, you have so much potential, but you're not doing anything with it. And I'm like, whatever, this is what it is to me. And, you know, it's like, we can always improve. So
that's the life of a video gamer, though. Untapped potential. I mean, I could be doing a lot of things, but what am I doing?
Playing well, you're
games.
Doing what you like. Hey, so Bobby. You're making the most out of your potential lifespan, I would say. That's what I think. Like, I think about people who are obviously more financially successful, but like at their very core, are they more or less happy than I am? I think I'm a very happy person. Yeah. Yeah, like my standards are low, but damn, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think video games really help with that. I really do.
Oh, God. If you keep me away from my computer, I get very angry.
You start hating everybody.
I start hating everybody, and I take it out on everybody, too. I'm a lot more calm this week, so.
Well, a lot of coffee.
Oh, that, too.
All right. Is that it?
Yes. So we want to plug our website, dlgaming.net. You can get to everything on there.
Including iTunes, where we need reviews badly.
Leave us a review on iTunes. That would help us out immensely.
Yep. And anyone on Discord, stay on Discord. We are going to get some gaming time in right after this live recording. So if you guys haven't dropped by Discord to do a live recording, we record all the time on Sunday, and we'll send out alerts via Steam Community. So if you're not following us in Steam Community, you will get those updates live.
Yep. And I think that is it.
Yeah. Well, all what right. does next week look like for everybody? Chad will be back. Hopefully he'll have some stuff to talk about.
I'm going to also see if I can budget out some finances to get Escape from Tarkov. And try out that game too, and more Stardew.
I wonder if they accept PayPal.
They
I would feel more comfortable.
Oh, then I would. Oh, PayPal. Then yeah. Definitely.
Bobby, do you have? What was I going to say? Were you being shitty about wanting to play it after my terrible?
No, I'm actually intrigued. I do want to check it out.
Oh, cool.
I want to see what the game is actually like.
Yeah. Jerks. Jerks.
No, it's just, it's one of those games where it's so hard to explain that you just have to play it to find out for yourself.
What was the one that Chad and I tried to explain and we were like going, but there's this, but then there's that, and then there's this, and we kept, fuck, it was the same thing. The exact same thing just happened, whatever that was. Yeah. Anyway, let's wrap this one up. Thanks to Chi, Bobby, and I guess thank myself. Escape from Tarkov, titties, people. Bye-bye.